Okay. I'm going to crack this, too, for my energies. Synergy? Is this synergy or energy?
I think that's just energy. Synergy, you got to combine something with something else.
So combining Red Bull with my tummy does not count?
No. That's like just adding gasoline. Like, oh. Synergy is the energy you're supposed to produce by combining two things.
No wonder my work is always talking about that.
Right.
All right, well, let's just pretend intro music went, and then I'll just go.
Okay.
Well, we're broadcasting live from, hold, if you can tilt like this, too.
Okay, tilt it in.
Yeah, it's going to have to get crazy, but we're broadcasting live from somewhere in New Mexico.
That's right.
Headed toward Santa Fe.
Yes.
And Albuquerque.
That's right.
And then after that, we're going to be going to Prescott.
Prescott, Arizona.
The rest of you probably know it as Prescott, but right. I guess you're supposed to say it like biscuit.
Yeah,
Get the biscuit.
I don't really know why, but that's the way it is.
And if you're hearing a lot of noise, it's because we're in a U-Haul van.
Yes, a truck.
Truck. With a towing a car as well.
Right.
So, I thought, since this would be one of Ian's last opportunities to do a show. For a while.
Right.
That my plan was to come up with 50 questions for him to answer.
Mm-hmm.
That would either illuminate us on his life or, you know, just questions I came up with while watching the motion picture. Easy A.
Easy A, you say?
Which I rented from the Red Box and did not return before we left.
Oops.
Which was dumb.
So you're going to pay about like $5 or $6 to see Easy A once.
Yep.
Hopefully it was worth it.
It was not.
Okay.
I give Easy A a Easy C plus.
So it would have been great had you returned it that day. It would have been worth a buck, right?
Yeah, it's worth a dollar.
It's worth a dollar. It's still
$1.
Yeah, I think as of when we're recording this, it's still on an instant queue for Netflix, so...
Yeah. If somehow a space-time hole rips, I would tell myself to go return it now.
Right. Because this is like you've seen it in the theater.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, you should just tell people you saw it in the theater.
I might.
You might as well.
But that might be worse. I didn't care for it.
Right.
It was, the parents were a little too clever, a little too precious for me.
Uh-huh.
Not that they were big, fat black people like in the movie Precious.
Right.
But cute.
Okay.
And I don't like cute writing. Anyway, so I have these questions for you.
All right.
And there's pretty much, the only things to know is they're in no particular order because I shuffled them, by which I mean dropped them on the floor on accident.
All right.
And they are no longer in any sort of order.
Okay.
The other thing to know is you get 3 free passes.
All right.
So what that means is if there is a question you do not want to answer, you can take a pass.
All right.
But if you do it beyond 3 times for each pass, you owe me 1 Wendy's double stack.
Okay, sounds fair enough.
So I would say use your passes liberally.
All right.
So are you ready for your questions?
I am ready.
Okay. Question 49. Do you carry a chapstick?
No. I don't carry chapstick. I usually have it next to my bed.
So you're a chapstick user?
Only when I'm hungover.
Oh, that's weird.
You know, like, because I feel like I just get really, my lips get really chapped and dried out.
Or
I get that when I've been, like, if I've been out in the sun a lot.
Yeah.
So I think I use it more, I do use it as sunscreen more than anything else.
Okay.
I mean, so I do use chapstick. I think people should. But
well, whatever your little hygienic thing is
right.
in your life, it's worse when you're hungover, I think is the rule. You notice it more and it bothers you more and it affects your life in a big bad way somehow when you're hungover. Everything's amplified in the bad.
Well, it's like normally you can just sort of put your tongue on your lips to moisten them a little bit.
Yeah.
And then continuously do that. But if you're hungover enough, you just have no moisture to give.
Yeah.
You know,
on the lips as done since the dawn of time.
You're right. You're desiccated. So you're just... You're just looking for anything. So, yeah, that's at that point, it's fine. And, again, if you're out in the sun, you don't want to get sunburned lips because I've had those, and it's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Right.
Okay, question 10. Let's say there was a pornographic film made starring you. Well, let me start again.
Awesome.
You made a sex tape.
Okay.
It's already made with somebody.
All right.
And through the magic of cinema, no one could really tell who this other person was. So it's completely your property.
Uh-huh.
And no one would ever know who that was, including that person.
Right.
And you get an offer to have this made into, like, a porn film. Put okay. online, put on a DVD, all that stuff.
Like, sort of the Vivid thing, where which they already do, but I'm just involved in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they offer you a cash amount, a one-time payment for this to be released. What would that payment have to be for you to... Everyone would know it was you.
Okay.
But no one would know the other person or anything like that. What would it cost for you to release this to the world?
Now, let's just... I want to clarify something.
Okay.
All right. My point of clarification is it clear that this person, other person, is female or male? Or does it not clear?
Your preference.
Okay. Well, if it's clear that the other person is female and hot...
Okay.
I'd go with, like... $50,000
$50,000
Yeah, nothing too big.
That's not bad.
Female and super ugly. I'd go
super
with like
ugly.
Yeah, super ugmo. I'd go with probably about. I'd go with about $100,000, $150,000 maybe.
So people seeing you have sex with someone who's unattractive makes it cost more.
Right.
Huh.
Well, I think it's just that, and like a dude, like an attractive dude, by the way, is like if the ugly lady is 150, the attractive dude is like 200.
Okay.
Right. And then like an ugly dude, like some kind of bear or something.
Mm-hmm.
If it's clear that he's fucking me, that's going to be $500,000.
All right. Well, Vivid Pictures, here's your scale.
Right. So I have a scale for that.
$50,000 for a hot babe.
Yeah.
$150,000 for a not hot babe.
Right.
Two something for
like,
a man.
Yeah, we'll go with two for a hot man. Like an attractive dude.
Huh. Okay.
Because if I'm going to bang a dude, I'd rather bang an attractive dude. Because then people will be like, oh, I kind of get that.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess.
I mean, it's sort of like people say, oh, you banged, I don't know, Johnny Depp. You'd be like, oh, I get that. But if you banged, say, Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why the fuck did you do that?
Well, for the $250,000.
Right. But like they'd be like, for $250,000, like $200 and you bang Johnny Depp, you're like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, okay.
So.
I accept that answer.
Yeah.
All right. Question 40.
All right.
If I have an invention, and I want to know what you think of this invention.
Okay.
This is a Bluetooth headset. It works with, like, your iPod or something.
Uh-huh.
But it's modeled to look like a hearing aid. The idea being you could wear it whenever the fuck you wanted.
Okay.
Like, at work or whenever, anytime. You're at a concert.
Right.
That you don't want to be at. You're in the movies, and you don't want to be there.
Okay.
So you could listen to your iPod whenever you wanted, and it looked like you had a hearing aid.
Okay.
Would you purchase this item?
And no one else can hear it, right?
No.
It doesn't leak at all.
No.
Yeah, I definitely would. Yeah. I don't see who wouldn't, you know?
What would you pay?
Well, my sex money, clearly, I could pay a lot for this.
Yeah, now that you've made that Brian Dennehy cash.
Right. I've made this Brian Dennehy. I've made $500,000 for fucking Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
Let's see. I guess. You don't know. I feel like normal headphones are like $20. You know, like not the Apple ones, because fuck that.
Yeah, those are shitty, by the way. They don't even fit in my ear. They just pop right out.
Yeah.
I don't know whose ear has a circle like that in it, but it's not mine.
They're shitty. They get tangled.
Yeah.
Fuck the Apple headphones. It's been said before, but it's amazing that Apple's made an awesome piece of technology like the iPod.
Yeah.
Then they plug it into a shitty piece of technology like their headphones.
Yeah, true.
You know, like, it's just astounding that the two are packaged together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like having Reese's peanut butter cups where one is a Reese's peanut butter cup and great, and then the next thing is a big lump of dog feces.
They did really give up.
Or worse than dog feces, truck stop hockey puck beef jerky.
Yeah, we were just in a truck stop where, infamously, when Ian moved from Arizona a couple years ago,
right,
he stopped there and got beef jerky. And this is like 6 or 7 hours away from home. And by the time he had gotten home, I got in his car and I was like, what the fuck smells like a locker that has like a rotted corpse in it?
And I opened this beef jerky and it had the white stuff that old chocolate gets.
Yeah.
And
you ate it?
I ate a few bites of it, and it didn't, you know, how would you describe the texture of beef jerky in your mouth?
I don't know, hard and chewy. Hasn't everyone had beef jerky?
All right, I'm trying to imagine, like, if you picked up a piece of, like, a dirt clod, right? Where it's going to crunch a little bit and then sort of crumble in your mouth.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like it crumbles in your mouth. It doesn't really break into pieces. It sort of crumbles.
So that didn't go well.
No. So I threw it out of the window. Like, it was only in my, like, it, I opened the bag and I threw it out of my car.
Yeah.
And it was only open in my car for about 5 minutes, tops.
Jesus Christ.
And so this thing made my car smell like a dead person.
Oh, it stank.
Yeah.
It was stank.
So that is an amazing piece of beef jerky. But yeah, it's like having a Reese's peanut butter cup. Next to that piece of beef jerky is the iPod with the Apple headphones. But for your Bluetooth device.
Yeah.
I would say a fair price for that, actually, if it's sort of durable.
Yeah, yeah.
Which also the Apple, the iPod headphones are not.
Yeah, those are bullshit.
I would say I would probably pay about, I actually think like $150 to $200 for that device.
God damn. All right, I need to invent this immediately.
Well,
then.
I mean, it's supposed to be a perfect stealth device, you know, so yeah. You're going to pay more for it.
True.
And you're going to pay for
Bluetooth,
the premium of
I guess.
It. You know, I mean... like a decent, like a really expensive set of headphones is going to cost you like $60 or $70.
Yeah.
You know, like really nice ones for a stereo system or something. So I feel like that's fair for like you're paying $150. I'd say $150.
I think the primary thing we learned here is that Apple iPod headphones are shit.
Right.
Also, I mean, yeah, the cord is too short. Okay. Question 37. When was the last time you were in a mall?
The last time I was in a mall. Like an outdoor mall?
No,
or
no,
like
no.
An, okay.
A mall.
Mall.
Yeah, that's... No. When people say that, they're like, an outdoor mall? That's not a fucking mall. All
right. I would probably say, God, more than a year ago.
Can you remember what you were doing there?
I was just there. Like, I don't remember, like, what I was doing. I was looking for, a Christmas present.
Yeah.
And I was doing this in our hometown, and our hometown mall has not seen good days.
Yeah, it is shit.
I mean, like, there's nothing in there. There's one place I went where there's these Asian trinkets.
Yeah.
And it looks like someone just set up, like, a whole bunch of thrift stores.
Yeah.
Asian thrift stores and put them in there.
It kind of looks like the set from the beginning scene in Temple of Doom where they're in that Chinese restaurant blew up and they
right.
collected the wreckage and threw it in there.
Exactly.
I have a coworker who just moved, I think, from Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And she was saying she was astounded at how high quality that same mall was.
Holy
shit. Which made me swear to never move to Virginia for anything.
I can't imagine that... You know, that mall is, like, the second worst mall I've ever been in.
Yeah.
The worst is one I think we went to in Chicago, which was closing.
Yeah.
You know, like, there were stores were boarded up and gated down, like, in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Most of it was it was almost cooler to go in through the abandoned mall.
Yeah.
You know, you felt like you were in Dawn of the Dead.
It was more fun.
Right. Like, it was more surreal. This is just sad.
Definitely.
And it doesn't... You're not counting, like, going to the movie theater, which is attached to the mall.
No, because okay. If you can exit and enter from outside the mall.
Yeah, I never went into the mall to go to the movie
no.
theater.
Yeah, that was... I don't know how malls agree to that. If you own a mall and the movie theater moves in, you got to be like, no, you got to go through the entire fucking mall.
Right.
Maybe buy a tie from Sears.
I mean, even some of the outdoor ones, like, you have... Like, they bury the movie theater entrance behind a whole bunch of other stores.
Yeah.
So even if you're able to drive past, you still have to drive past all the other stores.
Yeah.
So.
All right, question 7.
All right.
Do you have a music artist that you enjoy that you feel like you have to constantly defend?
A music artist that I enjoy that I feel like I have to constantly defend.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, if you were in love with Linkin Park or something.
I think the one I wind up defending the most is Tom Waits, but it's not
yeah.
because, you know, I think for some people you go, oh, yeah, fuck, yeah, that's awesome. But a lot of people, it's like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of those, Tom Waits, I feel, is you get it and you like it or you don't.
Yeah, I think
it's not
either is perfect or you're like, is this a song, when is the song beginning?
Right. But I'll say that I think I have... I don't have to defend my music like as much as I have to defend a music dislike.
Okay. Before we start, Tom Waits to me, at his best is fine, and at worst, I think it sounds like the skits they used to do on rap albums.
Right.
It sounds like the beginning bed, and then a guy comes in and, like, shoots somebody else or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Who's your dislike that you have to defend?
I think we've talked about this briefly on our previous
show.
Because
you're right, hate is much stronger, so I enjoy hate.
Hate is, like, the thing is, I hated, and I will say I dislike, I went from hate to dislike, the Beatles.
Oh.
Yeah.
No,
I have to defend this all the time.
You're right, you're right to have to defend that, because that's crazy.
I mean, I just, like, I think that... On balance, I think that, you know, if I had to say, like, are they... I feel like they are really overrated as a group.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you look at the balance of their catalog, a lot of it is pretty bad. You know, that I think that... You know, people say, they're so innovative and creative. It's like, I want to hold your hand. That's not anything.
Yeah.
I mean, people were doing that for a long time. And you think about, okay, well, what about Rubber Soul? What about this or that? And I go... Now, these are my words of whenever someone says this. These are my words to them. Oh-blah-dee, oh-blah-da, oh, na-na-na-na, life goes on. I feel like, all right, defend that. No one can. It's impossible.
I can.
All right, defend that.
My love of the Beatles is not Rubber Soul or, like, the White Album.
Right.
I like the poppy Beatles, the early Beatles, when they were all wearing suits and didn't have beards.
Okay, so
it's fun. To me, it's just fun.
Right.
To me, it's the same as any whatever. But I think they did a pretty amazing job in that those recordings sound really good for the time and still hold up. And also, I don't know.
I guess part of me...
I think they're fun, but they're not like, end-all be-all.
I would take any Motown record put out in their career.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like a... average Motown record beats the shit out of the Beatles.
Well,
you know, and I think that even though it's sort of a different style of music,
yeah,
I'm like, it's better music, it's better produced, it's more influential. Like, you still hear the influence today, even if you don't recognize it.
Yeah, I think the problem with Motown, though, is every Motown act had 1 to 3 hits, and the Beatles had, like, 50.
I think the Beatles just had better management. I think that the Beatles were like an average band with awesome management and promotion.
Okay, well, I think you're wrong, but that's fine.
And I still hold the Rolling Stones are better.
Well.
So.
I would expect nothing less from a Tom Waits fan.
But I will say I've had to defend my dislike of the Beatles.
Yeah.
More than I've had to defend anything I like.
Well, I can't convince you to like the Beatles, but I can... say that I think you're completely wrong if you think they're not special.
I think they're...
Do you think who's better in your mind? Weezer or the Beatles?
I mean, I'd have to go with... God, I would probably... I say I like Weezer more.
Yeah.
If I had to go with who's objectively better, I mean, you'd have to go with the Beatles there.
All right.
But, again, I feel like I like Weezer's songs more. I feel like... But Weezer's put out... I feel a similar way, that I feel like Weezer's put out a handful of good songs and a lot of really bad stuff.
Yeah.
And people are sort of giving these handful of songs are really good.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel... I guess part of me feels like they get a lot... Like, the Beatles get a lot of credit for not really playing live a whole lot, which is strange for a musical act.
Well, they played live a lot before their fucking guys were all dead, I mean.
Oh, I mean, like, I don't mean that. They quit touring pretty early in their career. Sort of saying, like, well, the sound system couldn't overpower girls screaming and things like that, which is utter bullshit, because the Rolling Stones had the same problem, and they figured it out.
Yeah, you know, like, but Stones were not hot.
No, but I think, like...
Mick Jagger maybe is a rock star, but I think he probably gets fucked a lot more for being a rock star than for being hot. He's crazy looking.
Oh, no, I mean, I agree with you there. Mick Jagger wouldn't be able to get laid if he wasn't Mick Jagger.
You know how a clown takes off his makeup and then looks completely different?
Right.
Mick Jagger looks like what I expect every clown to look like when they take their makeup off.
Yeah.
Crazy big lips, or like, he looks like the fucking Joker. And bad haircuts, those bad... European rock haircuts.
The best part about Mick Jagger, though, is he's not the ugliest guy in that band.
I know, that's
like,
the crazy
he's
part.
Somehow one of the better looking ones.
Yeah, he's in the top two.
But I guess I do feel, though, that if you're going to say greatest band of all time, you go, yeah, they didn't tour a whole lot, or they didn't play live a whole lot. You kind of go, does that...
By that standard, Bruce Springsteen's the greatest act of all time.
I'm not saying that you have to perform, be a great live performer, but it's like, yeah, we didn't do it.
I guess.
You know, I think that the Beatles, I would probably have less hatred if the Beatles were not, everybody goes, they're so fucking awesome. They're so great.
Yeah,
I know. Oh, my God.
I know that's a factor. When everyone else has to tell you how awesome something is,
right,
and you don't agree, it makes it that much worse. I agree.
And I feel like that's when my musical taste does come into stark relief, because I do get asked, like, okay, what are your top five favorite bands? And I usually list them off, and they go, oh, you like all this good stuff, and you don't like the Beatles, so, like, maybe there's something to this.
But let's be serious about your musical taste.
Right.
You're not a pop music. You don't like bubblegum music.
Not really, no.
I mean, the closest you probably get is, like, some Kanye West music or something like that. I mean,
yeah, like more, I guess you'd say poppy hip hop, but even then, like, Kanye is pretty much it.
Yeah, so you're not, I don't know, you, in general, pop music's not your thing.
No.
I think Beatles is pop music.
I would, yes, absolutely.
More than they are rock,
like,
music.
No, if the Rolling Stones, I think, are the greatest rock band, and I feel like if you're going to call the Beatles a rock band, that's wrong.
Well,
like, generally wrong.
Fair enough.
All right.
Number 23. Something about Arizona, where you're moving to now.
Okay.
Something about Arizona you're looking forward to.
God.
As, like, a living environment.
As a living environment in Arizona.
Because let's face it, there's a lot to not like. It's hot.
Yeah. It's hot.
That's all.
Well, where I'm moving to is actually not all that hot. Like, it's actually pretty good.
You keep saying that, but I'll believe it when I see it. When my pants are so sweaty that even though they're not white, they're completely see-through from sweat, moving things into your apartment, I'll know how I feel.
I mean, the weather has been reported to be the same as our hometown. Like, I mean, to the letter. Like,
I suppose.
The same little thunderclouds for all the days, the same highs, pretty much the same lows.
I don't have a lot of trust for that, though, because here's what they'll say on the weather. Oh, let's take a look at town. Tonight we've got a low of 40, and then in the day we've got a high of 150.
Okay,
so they only
yeah.
have like a 400% swing on what the temperature could be from the hottest point to the cold. I just want to know about what it is, and also not... I don't want to know the temperature so much as what's it going to feel like.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, like, if you're in the Valley area, which, for those of you who don't know, is sort of the Phoenix area, they tend to always say it's 119 degrees. Because somehow, like, when people say it's 100, like, if they say it's 120, they go, oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
But 119 or 117 seems less insane.
Yeah.
But, like, I would say for where I'm going right now, I feel something I'm looking forward to. I'm actually looking forward to being able to do some hiking, mountain biking, which sounds strange when you're in Colorado, like when you're coming from Colorado to Arizona. But I'll be much closer to that than I was.
Yeah, I do think people have this idea that Colorado, any part of Colorado you live, you're like 20 minutes away from the mountains.
That's definitely not true.
No, I mean, the closest hiking trail to our house is probably an hour minimum drive, and that's the closest, so it's not like fun.
Right.
Also, I have to say, I find hiking a little overrated in that, like, it's fun when you climb like a 14er and it feels like you're on a mountain.
Right.
But when you're hiking, it's really, you don't feel like you're on a mountain. You just feel like you're in the woods going uphill.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a mountain.
I mean,
uphill woods is pretty much a mountain.
Right. Or occasionally, like, an uphill boulder field is also a mountain. But,
yeah.
I mean, I'd also say that, like, being close to that means I can do stuff. Like, I can pop for a hike, like, a day hike is an option. Like, an actual just, I'll go hiking in the morning and come back in the evening.
Yeah, you could decide that day to go hiking and then come home, as opposed to, like, that's the thing. If you're going to go and where we're from, you have to decide the day before, pretty much.
Yeah, you can't just decide whenever you want. Plus, I'd also add that I could go night hiking, which is really fun.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, again, when you're close enough, you can just go and do it.
Yeah, that's nice.
And night hiking I've done before in Colorado, but again, like, you kind of have to plan it in advance.
Yeah.
And you have to go, like, during the summer months, obviously.
Yeah.
Wherein it doesn't get dark until about 9 o'clock.
True.
And so if you actually want to go at night, like, in the dark,
yeah,
you have to go at 9 o'clock, so you're going to get home, like, at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
So...
okay.
You got to plan it out, but now I don't have to.
See, now you have some. I'm helping you.
Right.
Look forward to your move.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 22. Do you have your next Halloween costume picked out?
Do I have my next Halloween costume picked out? You know, I was really thinking about that.
Okay.
Because I was at another Michael Jackson cover band.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Who's Bad? How did that compare to the first one?
Oh, God. Who's Bad is wonderful.
Okay, so like, see Who's Bad. Don't see,
right.
What's it called? Dangerous or something?
Thriller, I guess.
Thriller.
The ultimate Michael Jackson experience.
So Thriller, the ultimate Michael Jackson experience, is
right.
Slightly less ultimate than Who's Bad.
Oh, yeah. It was cheaper. Like, Who's Bad was less expensive.
Yeah.
Easier to get to.
Yeah.
Better performers.
Yeah.
The guys, like... the backup band were better dancers in Who's Bad than the professional dancers were in Thriller, the ultimate Michael Jackson experience.
Well, props to you for not being turned off by one terrible Michael Jackson cover band experience and really pushing through to a second one.
Right.
Most people would probably go to one and have a bad experience and quit, but not you.
No.
Okay.
I pushed through. And I thought, like, I would want to go as a good Michael Jackson era costume.
Yeah.
But I was trying to pick a good one, like, because the Thriller one is too hard to replicate.
Well, and you have to go from his white era, right?
Yes.
Because otherwise, or be in blackface, which I assume you're not going to do.
No. I thought about going with, because I think Billie Jean is the way to go.
Now, is that the suit with the short pants and the socks?
Yeah.
And the, like, a wife beater under a black thing?
And with the hat, too, and, like, the one glove and the...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one... That's the thing that's the most recognizable as both Michael Jackson...
Yeah.
...and easy enough to do that you could find the stuff at a thrift store.
Yeah,
the Thriller would be really fucking hard.
A child suit pants.
Right. God, what is it? The, Remember the Time, it would be sort of like that weird gold thing.
Yeah, I think you're right to go with something generic, because otherwise you're fucked.
I mean, I feel like that's a good... And plus, like, the thing with... If you have the Michael Jackson stuff...
Yeah.
You always have a costume ready to go.
That's like...
You know...
I was so glad I bought that Pee Wee Herman stuff.
Right.
Because now, if something comes up, costume party, I'm like, oh, well, here we go.
I mean, what I did for that is what I usually think is my standbys. I go find a pair of scrubs.
Yeah.
And you just put blood on them.
Yeah.
You know,
the downside being you leave red marks on everything you touch.
Yes, that's the downside.
A little too realistic in that aspect.
But that's the hard thing, is like, if you have to prepare it at the last minute, you have to make sure you have time for it to dry.
Yeah.
My high recommendation is to get something red, like red Kool-Aid, and just, or even like red corn syrup, and just dye the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And so it will dry. The cream makeup doesn't work.
Yeah.
So
stain it, wash it, wear it. Simple, delicious, done, as our friend, what's that fucking guy, Gordon Ramsay would say.
Right.
Okay, 21.
Okay.
Why are carnival dates so good in movies and so bad in real life?
Oh, God.
Assuming you agree with that statement.
I agree, because I had a horrible date at a carnival.
Yeah.
And I can say the reason is that in movie life, people don't get nauseous.
Yeah.
You know, unless it somehow advances a joke or the plot.
Right.
But in real life, like, vomiting on somebody or vomiting at some point is much harder to clean up. Like, you have to deal with the vomit the whole time. Like, even in a movie where you puke or someone pukes, it's cut away from really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, just sort of puke.
You don't deal with it for the rest. People in movies puke and rally.
Uh-huh.
And then in real life, you puke and you feel like shit pretty much the rest of the day. You're like, why didn't I just stay home and lay on the couch and watch Psych today instead of doing this?
And also, it's worth noting that if you puke on your date, in the movie version, you puke on her, she's horrified and runs away.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's no she hangs out for a little while.
Oh, so you would rather, if you puked on a girl, that she took off rather than you had to deal with that later?
Well, because when you puke on somebody, you know, if they don't just punch you in the face and walk off,
right,
you know, that's a keeper.
It's true, because Heather's dog, actually, one time we were sitting in her living room, and her dog ran up, vomited on me, and just ran away.
Yeah.
I still haven't let it go.
Oh, no.
I still haven't accepted that, so I can only imagine if she had done the same thing, she'd be getting constant shit for that.
Oh, God. And the thing was, like, I can explain the basics of the story.
Uh-huh.
I'd eaten a whole bunch of tacos. Not anticipating I was going to the carnival.
Oh, because you didn't know.
I didn't know that this date was coming.
That's part of the problem with carnival dates.
Yeah,
they happen.
It was like, it was back when I was in high school, so you never really plan. I didn't plan on this.
No.
But the girl I liked, I was like, yeah, we'll go to the carnival together.
Yeah.
I'm like, awesome. And I thought I had a whole bunch of tacos. And I generally like carnival rides now. I didn't used to, but I can generally like them. But I like the fast ones.
Yeah.
Not the spinners. Not the spinners. And I like the spinners. It's fine, sort of.
Just sort of
on the ground
opposite
spinning.
Of how I feel about women.
Yeah.
I like the spinners.
You like the spinners? Well, I like the on the ground spinning, like the tilt-a-whirl is
fine.
Exactly. But the upside down spinning. Is death.
A little much.
Yeah, like that's just, I hate, I cannot do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That if it spins like a clock, I'm fine, but if it spins in two different directions, then I'm fucked.
Okay.
And so what makes the story relevant is that we went on the zipper. Which, for those of you who don't know, it spins you in at least two different directions at a time.
Yeah.
Because you have the big, it looks like a zipper, basically.
Well, okay, it's a long rectangle.
Right.
And you're in a little car. These cars are dotted all around.
Right.
The rectangle. So you are rotating along a belt along the rectangle.
And
the rectangle is spinning.
Is rotating.
Your individual car is spinning as well.
So you have 3 points of movement, essentially.
That's a lot.
And since you can't really, you don't control any of those points of movement. It's not as if you can, like, flip a brake and stop.
I don't know why that's called the zipper. It doesn't, to me, in any way resemble what's on my pants.
Yeah, what should it be called then?
Vomitorium?
Vomitorium. That seems more accurate.
I don't
know. We went on it because she wanted to go on it.
Caged stomach bile heat.
Sure.
Something like that.
The intestinator.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what's fucked up about a ride like that? If you tested animals by putting them on that ride, that would immediately be decidedly cruel.
Yeah.
And it's okay to put a human in there.
Well, that's just like humans going it for fun.
Yeah.
But if you put a monkey in there or like a dog.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's not like you can just get out when you want.
Right.
Once you discover, like, oh, I wish I hadn't done this, it's like, well, fuck you.
And the monkey, like, if you had a chimp in there, the chimp would be very well secured.
Yeah.
You know, like, they would
take,
people would
brace.
Take an effort to make sure all the straps were there, everything was fine.
Yeah, helmets of some kind.
Right. There'd be a team of scientists, too.
Right, monitoring.
Monitoring the situation where now you've got one carny.
Yeah.
Kind of checks the straps. You know, but he doesn't really check yours. He makes sure to check your girlfriend's across her chest, you
right.
know, 3 times.
Yeah, Carney's main qualification for being a Carney is being unqualified for everything else.
Right.
That's how you become a Carney.
Too disorganized for meth dealing.
Yeah.
They're not able to do it.
You cannot keep your shit together.
Yeah. But I wanted to tell the story, basically. We went on the zipper once.
Yeah.
And I was fine. I made it. But I was nauseous.
Yeah.
We went on the zip. She's like, I want to go on the zipper again. And I'm like, oh, fuck. But
oh
at the time.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah. And at the time, I was like, oh, God, I probably will puke if I go on this again.
Uh-huh.
But if I don't go on this with her, then I'm fucked, too.
Right, because who's she going to go with?
Right. She's not going to go by herself.
We're on a carnival date.
She's not going to go by herself, so she's just going to find some other guy. You know, like at the carnival. Well, that was the thing I was thinking at the time.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh, you were in high school. You're right.
I was in high school. It was an early date. You're like,
yeah.
I am trying to hold on to this thing
as
hard and as fast as I can.
In high school, it does feel like, for whatever reason, you think that girls are so capricious that they'll just go with whatever.
Right.
They have no, if some guy is like, hey, your boyfriend doesn't want to ride the zipper, ride with me, that they're going to be like, and that's how I met your father.
Right. That's going to be the story.
Yeah.
I think
even though they realistically they'd probably say, okay, never mind, let's go eat a hot dog.
Right, where it's the kind of thing that you also think to yourself, like, man, she's with me.
Yeah.
I don't know how I pulled this off, so I don't want to fuck this up. Like, I really, you know, since you can't figure out what it is that keeps her there.
Yeah.
That's the mystery of it. So you're trying not to do anything wrong.
That's true. You don't even know what your appeal factor is as a person.
Right. We're like, now I probably could be able to be like, no, I don't want to do that. But we went on the zipper a second time, and I puked.
Oh, on the zipper?
On the zipper.
Oh, boy.
Very little got on her. Enough got on me. But because it's the zipper and it constantly rotates, it went a lot of places.
Oh, boy.
And the worst part of getting off the zipper when you're not on a date is that you have to walk off with puke on your shirt in front of everybody in line.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it's set up.
Know.
Everybody knows.
Walk of shame.
Yeah, it's like, it's the walk of shame of vomit. But the happy ending to this story is that she didn't run away. She helped me get a shirt and helped me clean up. So
that was good.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I asked you that question. I didn't even know that story.
Huh.
So it sounds like I was doing the thing where, like, a comedian goes on a show.
Yeah, we prepped that in advance.
So you've done some airplane travel lately, I hear. And they're like,
oh, yeah, I have my own jet. I learned to fly. I got my pilot's license.
But it was just a complete chance.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Good.
Last time I did, like, a carnival thing. Well, I went to Elitch's when I was probably also in high school.
Uh-huh.
But I stayed up the entire night before trying to get everyone else to play, I don't know, Truth or Dare or Spin the Bottle or something like that.
Right.
And it didn't work out at all. And then went to Elitch's, got immediately sick. Didn't actually puke, but then I just walked into the city and walked around instead of going to a ride.
So wait, what was the one ride that did it? Like you were?
I don't even know.
Okay. So it wasn't something like the zipper?
No, I think it was like maybe a Tower of Doom or something, and then I was like, oh, fuck this.
Which isn't really a spinning ride at all.
No.
It's just one of those things where it takes you up very high and you fall down.
Yeah.
Which I still don't like as a ride. Like, I didn't like that one as a kid, and I still don't like it.
I like it. It's got everything I need.
Like, I guess I want, I love roller coasters. It feels like you get something out of it.
Yeah.
You know, more experience. It's not, I'm going to spin you around till you vomit, or I'm not just going to drop you from something really tall.
I appreciate the Tower of Doom, because it's like, you go up and you drop down. It kind of summarizes what carnival rides are to me.
Yeah, just sort of a long, long wait for a few seconds of enjoyment. And then you're kind of disappointed.
It's just sheer terror. There's no ride to it. There's no, like, design.
Yeah, there's no finesse to it at all.
No.
It's just pure terror.
Ah. Yeah. Okay, question 20.
All right.
Pretend you have, like, a son, right?
Okay.
The year's 2025.
All right.
And your son asks you, like, about the days before the internet.
Uh-huh.
How are you going to explain pre-internet pornography to your son?
Well, I'm going to explain it by saying that you had to be clever, which you kids today are not. And I'm going to explain to him that we had to get our oldest-looking friend to go buy a magazine.
Yeah.
And you had to buy... You never got magazines from your era. It was always from...
Oh, no.
You know, the decade before. So, in our case, it would be, like, from the 80s.
Yep.
You know, the 1980s.
It's funny, because we grew up in the 90s. But we definitely lived on 80s porn.
Right.
Which was, I think, probably the worst porn.
I would agree. I think that the way I would explain it, if I had to make an actual explanation, though, would be it's the way you try to buy alcohol today. Because I imagine that my kid is still going to try to get his oldest-looking friend to go do it for him. It's the same thing. You know, like, be like, we had to do that.
And you do end up with it, but it's usually something from a friend's parents' house, and it's never exactly what you want, but it does the job.
Right, it's sort of booze from a different era of your drink.
It's okay.
It's from a different drinking era, like where it's, something his mom would drink, so it's usually really fruity and you don't really like it. Like it's some sort of peppermint or schnapps.
Yeah.
Or it's like super hardcore scotch. Where you're just this is way too advanced for me.
That's what I drank on. Well, I guess you heard the super secret confessional show.
I did.
With my ex's grandpa.
Right.
And got way too drunk.
Right. Which you shouldn't tell that story again because that was a prize.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a teaser.
Right.
Okay. Question 19. How much do you miss Polaroids?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Because I like being able to see, you know, with a digital camera, you get to see your picture right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have that print, though. I mean, yeah. I will give it that. But
I like the aesthetic of a Polaroid, I have to say.
Yeah, I like it. I guess I like the thing about a Polaroid is that you would still hang up a kind of crappy Polaroid.
Yeah.
That if you have a digital camera now, like now you can't hang up a crappy picture, you know, unless it's clearly old.
Yeah.
Like if you have a crappy picture of anything, you're like, fuck that.
It's funny. So. It's funny to me because you would. You're right. You would hang up just whatever Polaroid. Here's what I miss about it. I feel like a Polaroid wasn't about having a gorgeous photo. It was about remembering whatever was going on.
Yeah.
But now everyone's got like a 6-megapixel camera on their fucking phone.
Right.
And so you're just trying to take these gorgeous shots, but it's like just now we also have Google Images, so it's not like that amazing to get an awesome photo of a sunset.
Right.
So it's kind of a weird technology is beating us from both sides.
Yeah, like the photos aren't earned anymore.
No.
You know, like it used to be if you wanted a gorgeous picture of a mountain pass,
yeah,
you either had to go to that mountain pass and take it yourself or pay someone who did take that picture.
You know what else, too, I really hate about the digital photo is the huge increase in the photo taken by the person.
Yeah.
And you see their arm. No one needs to be taken. I feel like taking those back when was awesome because you had to have guts. You didn't know what it was going to be. You couldn't just take another one. You would take one.
Right.
And then say, fuck it, whatever that ends up is what we've got.
Yeah.
But now, you could just take them 100 times. You can see if you were in it. Who cares?
It's the kind of thing that it even cheapened the cheap artistic shot.
Yeah.
You know, like the cheap artistic shot always used to be you in the mirror.
Yeah.
But now, since everyone does that just to be like, show me your boobs.
Yeah.
Then it's like photography is cheaper now, but can't say I miss Polaroids all that much. Polaroid cameras were generally bulky.
Yeah.
The film was a bit expensive even at the time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like getting a whole bunch of digital pictures even made into prints is not that expensive.
No.
You know, so I feel like I have a ton of pictures that I would want to make into prints, and I can.
Oh, that was a good carcass. Did you see that?
Oh, man. That was a
it was like
serious...
half an antelope, and you could see its ribs.
I was tempted to run over it like that tire.
Oh, God. Yeah, Ian completely ran over this truck tire earlier.
Right.
And I think I was like, are you just going to run that over?
Actually,
got real high pitch.
You didn't seem that concerned.
No?
It was more. It wasn't like the, oh, my God, you're going to run that over. It's like more that I had made a bad ordering decision at a restaurant. Like, you're gonna
really?
Get the chicken.
You're getting the lasagna at McDonald's.
That's not wise.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. In fairness to my driving, I'll say I'm not as good at driving this trailer thing as Peter is. But in the truck tire situation, I was pinned on the left, so I couldn't get away from it.
Didn't have a lot of choices.
Yeah,
I mean, probably would have gone into the shoulder.
I realized that in hindsight, but I was like, you know, the weather was weird. It was sort of a split decision.
It was early into the trip, too.
So
first hour of driving, so it wasn't...
No, it was second hour because we were past Denver at that point.
Okay, but
so.
Early.
Yeah, it was early into the trip.
Also, it's not like it's your car, so who cares?
Right, my car's just attached to the back of this.
Yeah,
but
if it was your car, I assume you wouldn't have just run it over.
Well, my car doesn't have the ground clearance either, so
no,
I mean, I wouldn't
true.
Have been able to make it through, so...
Okay, question 29. This is a weird one.
Okay.
Pretend that crabs, like the kind you get in pubes, could be raised in a cage, grow to normal crab size, and tasted delicious and just like regular crabs.
So I'm raising these on my body, isn't that it?
No, you could raise them in a cage.
Oh, okay.
So let's say you caught crabs and you threw them in a tank and they could grow up like, and they didn't look like normal crabs, but they could be eaten and killed like a normal crab, and they were tasted just like regular crabs.
Okay.
Let's assume you've done this.
All right.
Would you tell your guests, your dinner guests, the lineage of these crabs before serving them? Or would you just say we're having crab?
Oh, just having crab.
You wouldn't tell them they were pewter. You wouldn't be, not even after, you wouldn't say, so, what'd you think?
No. I mean, if I were serving crab, by the way, and is this widely known that you can make pubic lice?
Let's say you discovered it.
Oh, I discovered it and I haven't told anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck no. I'm not telling anybody.
What about 1 year later?
No.
You would just keep it your secret forever?
I would keep it a secret for a while.
Yeah.
You know? And I think I would show select people, like, if they were going to come to my house multiple times.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, like, they would find out that there's a crab there. You know, I would eventually just tell them what it is.
Yeah.
And I think if people were persistent enough asking for a recipe, but I feel like if someone came to my house, all right, this is why I wouldn't do it. If someone came to your house,
uh-huh,
that you served them dinner, and it was, just say, chicken, right?
Yeah.
Is anyone going to ask where you got the chicken from?
No.
No, they're not going to care.
I suppose not.
And if someone asks you, and crab is way more expensive than chicken,
right,
in most of the country, and I'm guessing for international listeners where you live, too. So if someone says, well, where did you get this crab? My response is, what the fuck do you care? Eat the crab.
Yeah, just eat it.
Like, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
Don't look at my balls as a gift horse, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Don't look your gift balls and put them in your mouth.
Right, put
or
my
do,
ball.
I don't know.
Put my balls in your mouth and pretend like you don't know.
Falls apart right. A little when a horse becomes balls, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, well, we're about 40 minutes in, so we're going to take a quick break because we don't have any backup, so this will save the file.
Right.
So we're going to take a couple breaks, probably. So we'll take a quick break. This one's going to be brought to you by Power Bar Energy Blast.
Awesome.
Cola flavor.
Cola flavor.
And we'll see you in a bit.
Sweet.
Do you want to try a Power Bar Energy Blast cola flavor?
Nope, good.
It's like a gummy.
Plus, I don't have a hand to hold it.
It's kind of a road food, in my opinion.
Fair enough, but I don't really have a hand to hold it.
Do you want it? You can put it. Yeah. There you go. I'm going to describe what this looks like. It looks like a button you hit in Super Mario World to make yellow blocks show up.
Right.
But it's tiny and chewy. It actually doesn't taste too bad.
No, it's pretty, has of that nice cola, artificial cola taste.
Yeah, if you like gummy cola.
Yeah,
I don't know what this does for you as far as energy, but
it's spot on.
Huh.
Spot on for a gummy cola.
Oh, I opened it on the wrong side.
Whoops.
We're supposed to eat these 30 to 60 minutes before exercising. Or during activities lasting more than an hour, have 1 to 3 pieces every 10 minutes. So you're supposed to have, Jesus, okay.
That's a lot of directions for a candy.
It gets longer. Then you're supposed to combine them with gels. I'm just going to eat. You know what else I've eaten? Those sport jelly beans.
Yeah.
Those are a candy for me as well.
Wait, sport jelly beans? I've never even heard of these.
Yeah, they're like a jelly belly, but they're called sport beans. They're supposed to rehydrate you.
Oh.
But you know what? I
so they're
always,
like water beans.
I guess. Okay. They don't really do anything for me. They're basically, if Jelly Belly made flavors to mock a Gatorade flavor,
okay,
that's what they would be.
That just seems like the wrong direction to go, because I don't ever think Gatorade tastes good, you know?
Well, and also, so, when have you been like, I'm in a sports situation, I need to take in some energy, if only it were in jelly bean form, I would be fine.
I don't know. It makes me feel like, you know, somehow humanity survived a long time without these rehydrating jelly beans.
Yeah.
You know, that when you think about it, Native Americans used to walk a long way with another superfood we have in this car, beef jerky.
Yeah.
You know, and that seemed to work out for them just fine.
Agreed.
So basically, all you athletes out there, fuck hydrating jelly beans, beef jerky.
Yeah, get some pemmican.
Right.
Whatever the hell that is.
Well, they do have a beef jerky brand called pemmican, so get that.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Question 28.
Okay.
I wrote, tell us about your tattoos, but I feel like you already told us about one on your back.
Oh, right.
So tell us about your other tattoo.
Well, the other tattoo was something, it sort of looks like a tribal dragon, which, you know, people point out as like, oh, God, just another tribal tattoo. Yeah. But this one is a little different, that I'd read a book of Native American poetry in when I was in college, like as an undergrad, and I really liked it. And I thought, hey, this would make a good tattoo. Like, all the artwork in the book, The Way to Rainy Mountain by N. Scott Momaday.
Uh-huh.
Decent book of poetry.
Yeah.
So I'll recommend that. Highly recommend the artwork, which is done by his father.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So, I mean, it's a cool book. So you could probably find it for, you know, I've seen it online for $4. So it's a good way to spend $4.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But I got the tattoo, like, I sort of hung onto it in the back of my mind for a few years, like a year or two.
Yeah.
I was dating a girl for a while. I broke up with her. I was feeling kind of down. And, I was feeling kind of down, and it's like I needed something to sort of just change. Like, you know, like an artificial turning point.
This is like how girls change their hairstyle.
Right.
After they break up and then start feeling better.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene in the movie where it's like song by Pink and they're rapidly cutting their hair over the sink.
Uh-huh.
And then you know, it comes out and it looks perfect somehow.
Right. And mine was a little bit less dramatic because I went to the tattoo shop. I don't have the card for it anymore because it's gone. But I went to the tattoo shop and he gave me the tattoo and he put me in the chair. And he's like, he puts me in the chair in front of this television. He's like, "You want to watch the Family Guy movie?" I thought, sure.
Yeah, because you're kind of like, well, why the fuck not?
Why the fuck not? And so I don't think he's into this sort of, you know, I was sort of looking for something a bit more spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, like a New Zealand warrior getting it tattooed in with a hammer or something.
Right. Oh, for your transformative experience.
Yeah, for my sort of transformative spiritual experience.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see why. You know, because expecting a lot from a tattoo guy is probably a mistake, but I understand you're like, you wanted this guy to be like, oh, man, this is awesome, and then tell you some wise advice.
Yeah, some, you know, I wanted some sagacious wisdom from this tattoo guy. You know,
wanted
like
him to be like Piney from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that I did, you know, because I was in graduate school, so you're around a lot of academics.
Right.
But one thing that is true about all academics, and I'll say this out loud, is they think that somehow all blue-collar people have this secret wisdom.
Yeah.
You know,
magical black men and whatnot.
Right. It's like a magical poor person.
Yeah.
You know, magical blue-collar thing. Like, you're somehow going to come out with this genius aphorism.
Yeah.
And what we often forget is that many of the people who work blue-collar jobs got to that point because they just couldn't do any. They weren't smart enough to get through school. You know,
well,
so.
To be honest, at best, right, you have, you have idiot rich people and idiot poor people.
Right.
So at best, I would say you would probably have equal of both. And in
Fair
reality,
enough.
More likely that there would be more smart people who were not poor.
I guess it's not. Like,
if I had to guess.
Part of the blue collar thing, though, is like if you're, you know, you're probably, you might be kind of dumb, but again, kind of poor. Because if you're dumb, but you're wealthy, you could get some kind of like office job, be some kind of middle manager.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have the right connection.
Yeah.
So.
You at least have a smart dad or
right.
something.
There's somebody smart in your life, like
True.
Around you, you know, who can kind of utilize you well.
Yeah.
But so I kind of expected that, but I was sitting there watching Family Guy. didn't really hurt as much as the other tattoo did.
Ah, interesting.
You know, like it was sort of, it wasn't unpleasant. I could still, you know, I never had a point where I lost the train in Family Guy.
Yeah.
You know, and not that it's a hard show to follow plot-wise.
What'd you think of the Family Guy movie?
Well, I'd seen it before that point.
Yeah.
It was okay. Not all that great.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about, really.
Yeah.
But I...
You want me to take your glasses?
No, I got it.
We're having sunglasses issues.
Yeah, well, they keep fogging up, so.
Oh, okay.
So I take them off my head so they'll defog. But I got the tattoo, and the thing was, I was really happy with it, you know?
I have to say,
yeah,
I think it's a pretty awesome tattoo, and I'll say why. I don't think it looks like a tribal. It looks like something.
Right.
But here's what I think is cool about it. Like, you cover it up with a short sleeve, except the little lizard dragon guy's tail sticks out from the bottom of a short sleeve.
Uh-huh.
So it's just enough that everyone knows you have a tattoo, but it's not like you got it on your lower arm where everyone can see the entire thing with doing no work.
Right.
So it works perfectly because it's like you have this tattoo, but it's not ostentatious.
Right.
So I think it's like a teaser.
And
this
it's also
tail there.
It is big enough too that it looks like a legitimate. It's a legit tattoo.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I got a little dolphin on my ankle or.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'm trying to think of the guy version of that. Like you got a Woody Woodpecker on your shoulder or something.
Yeah.
Where no one can see it.
Yeah.
Like I had something where it's gonna show up. Like it's gonna peek out from time to time.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of compliments from it. Also, I'll say the design itself. Because it has that sort of tribal look, and that's been in for a while.
Yeah.
It's familiar enough to people that it doesn't look insane.
Right.
But it's different enough that it's not something people find on the wall, you know?
Yeah.
It's not something someone has seen before.
No, it looks like something you came in with.
Yeah, and I'll say he did a really good job of taking something from a book, tracing it, getting the little details in, which is surprisingly hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, blowing it up to scale without making it look distorted.
Yeah.
So I'd say I'm really, you know, the one on my back, which we've talked about before, I'm not terribly happy with.
Right.
You know, it's not something I would get again.
Yeah.
But this one I'm happy with. I'd get it again.
All right.
So.
Would you get another tattoo?
You know, I've thought about it. I had a girlfriend who told me I needed to get a tattoo of either a tiger or a ball.
Ball?
A ball.
B-A-L-L?
Yes.
Just any ball?
Just like a little ball. Because
why?
This was her explanation, all right? And I think she was serious about this.
Okay.
She said the thing was if I just had the dragon by itself,
uh-huh.
I would have bad dreams because the dragon would be running around and causing havoc.
Okay.
So I needed a tiger for it to fight with
uh-huh.
or a ball for it to play with.
Oh, boy.
So those were my choices, was either a... tiger for it to play with or a ball like or a tiger to fight with or a ball to play with.
I'm glad you didn't listen to her. That was a bad idea.
Yeah, and
that's
I thought,
crazy.
Like, and I thought like, well, my choice, and by the way, what would your choice be at that point? Well, I'll get an elaborate tiger tattoo.
Yeah, I think I'd
or
get a ball.
Or a ball.
Cuz a tiger is weird. And I think more than one animal is probably a mistake.
Yeah. But the thing is, with the ball, I'd have to tell that story every time.
What's that ball? Well, if you just got a generic-looking spear, you could just be like, I don't fucking know.
I just got it.
I would think I would always just say, if I got a bad tattoo and I wanted to lie,
uh-huh.
I would just say, I had a friend who worked at a tattoo place, and he had to do practice or whatever.
He was practicing, so he just wanted to...
I was like, all right, just do a ball.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Or I was in some kind of contest, and I want like, we dared each other to get tattoos, and like, if I got a tattoo, then I would have won, so I just got a little ball.
Exactly.
You know, so.
You could make up a story. A tiger is a little, looks like you do karate.
Yeah, I'd have to be a mixed martial arts fighter right. at that point, with a dragon and a tiger. So.
Which is, I think, really cool up until, you know, 17, 18, maybe not even that long. And
right.
then very much diminishing returns after that.
Yeah, I agree.
It's weird because when you're a kid and you have, like, a karate instructor who's, like, in his 40s, you're like, this is a guy who's, like, still living life the right way.
Uh-huh.
But then you get older and you're like, oh, that's why that's weird.
Right. You don't figure out for a while why it's strange to have, like... someone's chosen profession would be to hang out with a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah.
And sort of teach them to beat up other teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the guys who do scouts.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I never looked at those guys and thought, wow, they have it together.
Well, I thought new shit. I never thought, what a weird adult.
Yeah.
I just didn't really think about them. But now I'm like, why the fuck would you do that?
It somehow seems like when you're in the scouts, it's like, okay, these guys... Both cases, like, this is a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you had this weird concept of what a man was. Like, a man was a guy who could kick really high or tie a knot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, somehow if he could set up a tent, he's a man.
Right.
Whereas now I kind of think, I don't know if that's really makes you a man.
Well, it's not one of the harder man jobs, probably.
No.
I mean, you know, it's not as hard as beating up a lady.
No, definitely not. And that's a job.
And then getting her to come back to you again and again.
Right.
That's hard.
Or, like,
that's hard.
Marrying somebody and then fucking someone else on the side.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
That's a man job.
Okay, 27. So, for a holiday, maybe a year ago, I bought Heather a typewriter. A really old typewriter. But some of the keys stick, it's not working quite right. I have taken it back since in an attempt to fix it. Do you think there's any chance in hell I'll be able to fix this typewriter?
Now, there's two different answers for this one.
All right.
You
yes
by
or
yourself?
No.
No. You by yourself? No.
Okay.
Actually, I'll go with it this way. If you got all the resources you could muster, no. You by yourself? Fuck no.
Okay.
So I'm going to say.
So no and fuck no.
Right. I mean, I was going to say maybe, but I'm like, I don't think you're going to have the resources to find someone else to do this for you at a price that makes this even reasonably worthwhile.
Ah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, if someone said, listen, I could fix this typewriter for you, $500. That's not happening.
Absolutely not.
You know, that's just not happening. If it were $200, I'd be like, oh, you're going to save that till Christmas, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time. First of all, you have to find this person.
Yeah.
Then you have to find a reasonable price. Then you have to get it done.
It is a little too like getting a car repaired.
Yeah.
Where they could just tell me any bullshit. They could be like, oh, well, the carriage is misaligned. Your ringer arm is, you know, hasn't been lubricated and is therefore ground down. And I'd be like, yeah.
Right, the Calvin ball is out of whack.
And it must be. That would explain everything.
Right, you're like, of course.
Yeah. So it is a little bit like that in that sense.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that even if you, and with your answer of fuck no, even if you found the instructions that were legitimate,
yeah.
And it did say the Calvin ball was out of whack,
yeah.
Would you even know what to do?
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's trying to like fix your car through the internet is also a bad choice.
Yeah.
Because You might say, like, yeah, I have this problem. And they're like, oh, well, it's this thing, you know.
Oh, I learned my, hey, Albuquerque, 118 miles in about 2 hours. Well, I learned my lesson about that when I looked up internet advice on bedbugs and spent a weekend terrified.
Right.
Okay.
By the way, for our listeners out there, bedbugs are killed by the sun and nothing else.
The sun doesn't kill bedbugs.
Sure does.
How?
You just put your stuff out in the sun. Like,
oh, well, yeah. If you just leave it out, they just go away.
You leave it out.
It doesn't leave their corpses there.
No, it doesn't. Like, it gets rid of the bed bugs in your stuff, so you get them out of your house.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best. That's the thing I found that works the best for the least money.
You had bed bugs?
Well, like, they were common in Morocco.
Oh.
Like, where I was. Part of it is, like, in all fairness, it wasn't because the places were necessarily dirty.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with that.
It's also
actually,
because, like, I mean, if you have
learned.
A, like, if you have, in some cases, like, they'd be at hotels or places.
Yeah.
And it's just, if you have a hotel, especially something that caters to travelers, especially when they're going through Africa.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to pick up some people who haven't showered for a while or been in weird places.
Yeah.
So, bed bugs are going to happen. So, you get bed bugs, you put all your cloth outside in the sun, you're usually fine.
All right.
All right.
I did check bedrugreporter.com for the motel we're staying at. It was not specifically listed.
Fair enough.
Okay. Question 31.
Okay.
You have to take up one of the two, one of these two, and smoke once a week at a coffee shop on the patio.
Cigar
or pipe?
Probably, God, pipe.
Pipe?
I'd go with a pipe.
Why?
It's not that because I think I like the pipe.
Uh-huh.
I just think that a cigar looks weird unless you are well-dressed all the time.
Ah, like, you know, if you're in shorts and sandals with a cigar?
Yeah, like, somehow if I'm in shorts and sandals but I have my pipe...
Yeah.
It looks sort of hipstery.
Yeah.
And it looks ironic. Like, and I can be fine with that. If I'm well-dressed, the pipe fits in, too.
Yeah.
But, like, short sandals and a big cigar, you just look like a weird douchebag.
There are, so. With a cigar, too, there's, like, 10 people who can, like, own it. You know, right. Like Ron Perlman.
Tony Soprano.
Yeah, they can do it, but everyone else looks like an asshole.
Right.
I look like I stole it from my dad's desk drawer.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
And I think with a pipe, almost everybody looks that way.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're always going to look like an asshole, so at least I can be a unique asshole versus a, you know, non-thinking one. And I guess I'll also say I like the smell of pipe smoke more than cigar smoke.
Oh, that's okay.
Like, pipe smoke can smell kind of nice. So
a pipe store does smell good.
Yeah, so I'd go with it's pleasant. Plus, it gives you, like, you have the pipe to tinker with.
It is so, a project. It's like eating a lobster. So I guess if you had to sit outside a coffee shop and you weren't real into the smoking part, there's a lot more to be done.
Well, and an acquaintance of mine who does have a pipe, it says, like, if he doesn't want to really converse with people, like if he's outside and there's a big group and everyone's sort of talking around him, he can sort of fiddle with the pipe, like clean it out, play with it, you know, sort of prep it.
Use it the way some people use their cell phone.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's less rude than the cell phone somehow, because like the pipe is sort of strange.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah, I just got to do this.
All right.
So.
Number 34. Most fucked up internet sex thing you've ever seen.
Most fucked up goat, like, or I always think of Goatsy, but that's not really a sex thing per se.
I think it counts. Go ahead and explain Goatsy for those who.
Goatsy is something that I think it might be just in the older days of the internet.
Yeah, it was one of those original, like, it was the original two girls, one cup.
Yeah, I'd say it's somehow worse.
Oh, it's worse.
Like, it's just basically a person. It's hard to tell if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah.
Really. But it's, like, spread open its butt cheeks, like, really far. So, and it's really kind of bloody, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's spread open, and you get to really see inside. You're like, you don't know how someone's ass gets like that.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like, I've heard it's just a, you know, it's an anal prolapse.
Yeah.
You know, just being photographed. So, I think that falls in the category of, you know, most, that's the thing I always just run to.
Right.
Two girls, one cop. I was sort of prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
God. I don't know. I think on a more visceral level, I'd actually say it's some of that weird, like that Brazzers Network sort of rapey looking things.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of those.
You know, and even some of the ads for that. Like, I, you know,
that's
where
what
you,
I hate.
You know, where it's like you have your normal porn, where people are sort of, you know, clearly consenting to this.
Yeah.
And then right, like, sort of right to the side of it, you have these huge fake breasts on these women who are clearly, like, just, like, the women you want to help. Like, you're like, I want to give you a sandwich and a hug.
Yeah.
Because you look like you had a hard life.
Yeah.
And instead, they sort of get thrown on the bed, their panties are ripped off.
Yeah.
And they have this sort of clear motion of trying to get away and failing. And now the next slide is usually them in the kind of position that you would never be if you were being raped, because it's just so cumbersome.
Yeah, it's fairly complicit.
Right. So, I mean, it's not to say that if you are in a weird position, you consent, but you're like, if you have your leg sort of splayed in the air on his shoulder, that's not the most convenient raping position.
No, it's an internet problem, because you'll be watching a fairly normal or, you know, abnormal but in a different way kind of porn.
Uh-huh.
And then on the side is, like, replaying over and over a 10-minute clip or a 10-second clip of a guy jumping in the window, grabbing a girl by the neck, then they're banging in an uncomfortable way, and it's just this isn't what I signed up for. It's kind of like if you got a DVD of the movie Cars.
Yeah.
And then the preview was for the Blame It on Rio.
Exactly.
What the fuck? Like, this is not what I signed up for at all. This is not a crossover audience.
It's as if you got, I'll go you one better, all right?
Yeah.
It's as if you signed up for, like, you got a copy of, we'll just say something like Letters to Juliet, hypothetically, all right? And you get Last Tango in Paris.
Yeah.
Where there's just, like, brutal sex versus, you know, sort of something sweet.
Yeah.
Charming
little
in
romance.
Some way. Romance. Little romance.
All right.
You know, and it freaks me out more than the fucking machines by yeah. far. Because the fucking machine, there's clearly, like, not a human involved.
Well, I think it's a novelty.
It's a novelty.
More novelty, and it's like, oh, rape is a thing that actually happens.
Right.
People getting fucked by machines, you know, until Skynet takes over is not something that I see happening anytime soon.
Well, there's so much, like, the machine implies so much consent, too.
Yeah.
Because usually, like, when someone says, if you walk into the room and there's a piston with a dildo on the end of it.
Yeah, no, it's not like a liquid metal Terminator that
yeah.
comes in, busts down the door, and then his hand turns into a giant cock.
Right.
It's just like a dildo that moves back and forth.
And it's the kind of thing where someone says, like, yeah, I, you know, I wanted to fuck a machine.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily believe that part of the story.
Well, it's only one step. It's not like a machine man. It's like a box with a dildo. So it's only really one step off from just using a vibrator.
It's the kind of thing, like, I had this high school class called Exploring Industrial Technology. And I could have built that machine with the stuff we had in the room.
Yeah.
You know, like, we figured out how to do that, basically. Like, we didn't put a dildo on it.
Yeah.
But I could watch the machine. I'm like, you know, I know how you would do that.
Yeah,
like,
it's a simple machine.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like one piston on a car.
Right, it's a single piston. It's the kind of thing you could easily build as a sort of a freshman-level engineering project in college.
Yeah.
Like, it's the kind of thing
that... That would be a good... I think people would be interested in that.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing...
Build your own fuck machine?
Yeah, you build a piston, and you're like, what would you use one piston for?
Yeah.
And you build a fuck machine.
Fuck machine. 35. If you had to live married... with bunk beds, would you bang on the top bunk or the bottom bunk?
More experience banging on a top bunk because of that lofted bed thing in college. So I'd go with the top. More experience with it.
All right.
Bottom, just, you know, that's claustrophobic somehow. I mean, it's irrational, but somehow the ceiling doesn't seem as bad. So I'll go with that. I'm more comfortable.
Fair enough.
So
25.
All right.
Would you care to favor us with a brief version of the song about black socks?
Black socks, they never get dirty. The longer you wear them, the stronger they get.
Thank you.
I think that's all it is. There are verses to it, but...
And it just repeats?
Well, no, there are verses.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know any of them. I just
what
know the chorus.
What is that song, I mean? Is that like a childhood song that I should remember, or is it?
It was on one of those sort of childhood song tapes that our mother had.
Yeah.
I remember that song for some reason,
yeah.
Even though I never, like, when I was a kid, obviously you don't own any black socks.
I know.
You know,
like, why would you wear a black sock?
I don't think I got black socks until I was in high school.
Yeah.
You know, so I was obviously wearing black shoes before I had black socks to go with them.
Sure.
But... Well, yeah. So I do remember that song, and I had it long before I had black socks.
Do you find that song to be true?
No.
No.
I own black socks now, and I would change the song to "Black socks, you wash them right now, because if you don't, they will smell like shit."
Yeah, they make you much sweatier. They're made out of plastic. Why can't they make black socks out of the same shit as the white ones?
I don't... And
it's not like you wear a black t-shirt and it's made out of some kind of oily fabric.
There's a thing, like, black socks somehow are the worst because, like, when you take them off, you've got to wash those socks right away.
Yeah.
Cannot reuse them. And you cannot... You must wash your feet.
Yeah.
Like, any other color, you can kind of get away without washing your feet.
Yep.
You know, for a day or so.
True.
But with the black socks, you just got to do it.
All right. I'm going to just look here for a second through my questions. Okay. Question 24. So you teach.
I do.
On the first day, what do you tell your students to call you?
I've always gone with Ian.
Yeah.
Part of it is that I look young.
Yeah.
I mean, even in my sort of teacher clothes.
Uh-huh.
By the way, teacher clothes add on to me about 5 years minimum.
Yeah.
And so, like, when people guess my age, like, if I don't tell them the background, if I tell them my background, they guess pretty close.
Yeah.
Like, just they sort of do the mental math.
Right. College, grad school, Peace Corps.
Right.
Yeah.
And then sort of go college, grad school, Peace Corps. You've been here for X number of years. Then they kind of they get pretty close.
Can I say that the air in Bernal, New Mexico smells like bad breath?
It does.
What the fuck?
Fuck you, Bernal, Mexico.
Bernal, New Mexico. Horrible. Right.
But if I don't do that, if I don't have my teacher clothes, like, people will mistake me for, like, 19, not 19 anymore, but, like, legal drinking age still.
Yeah, you'll get carded.
Yeah, but I'll still get carded. Yeah. But if I'm in my teacher clothes, I don't get carded for anything.
Yeah, interesting.
And so I go with Ian because I'm like, if I go with Mr. Dirk, and plus a lot of students I had were older than I was.
Yeah.
You know, or, like, they were pretty much the same age.
Right.
So if you don't fight that the authority part on that front, you can fight it in other ways.
It's so true. And when you have a really young teacher, too, who's like, call me Mr. Dirk, you're like, all right, overcompensating.
Right. Like, clearly overcompensating. Like, if you do that with your clothes, you're better off.
Yeah.
Like, if you go in super dressed up, like, with my young, like, if I'm trying to assert authority, mm-hmm. I always go in sort of tie. Like,
yeah.
Nice clothes, tie. Never jeans. Like, never, never, never.
Yeah.
But if I, you know, like, if I don't, if I have a casual class or where I have control, then you'll see jeans coming out.
If you're in the kind of class where you're like, let's go outside.
Yeah. I mean, it's the sort of thing, like, if I, you know, I want to walk into the room and people say, like, that guy's the teacher.
Yeah.
You know, that person is obviously the teacher.
Okay. So. Question 18. Have you played any adult rec sports?
Adult rec sports. I did. What's, I mean, I played Ultimate Frisbee
okay.
on an adult team.
So was this like a ragtag kind of team? I mean, is it old hippies or is it young guys? I mean, what is this?
It's a mix of all of them.
Yeah.
I did it when I was in graduate school just because, like, the younger team, like the college team, just didn't meet at a good time for me.
Okay.
And plus, there were more opportunities to actually play.
Yeah.
And so it's a mix of, like, younger people who are out of college, older people, and some people who are at the college, but just, like, they don't want to play on the team for some reason or
yeah.
whatever, for whatever reason.
Okay.
So it's a pretty motley bunch overall.
For the love of the game.
Yeah.
That's what they're there.
And I would say that Ultimate Frisbee is probably the most, as much as it's sort of an outsider-y sport,
uh-huh.
it's the most insular of any sport.
Yeah. Like, hard to break into the game.
Like, hard to break into the game, but, like, the team, like people play together.
The same team sticks together forever.
Like, the same team sticks together, the same people all play in this league for years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I was in this league, people would drive 3 hours to play this game.
Oh, my God.
And then they would drive 3 hours home, so I thought, you know, I don't have 6 hours, like, I was trying to find 6 hours a week to dedicate to coming to games and
right.
doing all the stuff.
Right.
I don't know how you would dedicate, God, that would be 6, 12. I don't know how you would dedicate 20 hours a week to that.
Yeah, it's a part-time job of Frisbee.
Right.
That you don't get paid for.
Yeah, and you have no hope of getting paid for ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's hopeless.
It's not like once I get discovered. That's
right.
True. I'm glad you added that because it's like, yeah, who would spend 20 hours a week doing something like updating a shitty website? That would be a crazy thing to do.
Updating a shitty website has the difference of it is possible for you to get paid to do it.
I suppose.
We'll find out. All right.
Question 17. What do you anticipate is going to be the worst part of the Super 8 Motel we'll be at in about 2 hours?
I'm going to guess the fact that there is nothing around to eat.
Yeah, oh, good call.
That's been my experience with the Super 8. Like, generally, nothing around to eat.
Yeah.
But always a conveniently placed, overpriced pizza flyer.
Yeah.
You know.
In the room. And
in the room.
Like $24.
$24 for medium pizza.
Yeah, good point.
So.
All right. Good call. Well, I wish I hadn't asked that question, because now I'm thinking that's going to happen.
Now you're dreading it.
There's, like, smoke coming on the horizon. There's always a mysterious fire when you're driving somewhere. Have you noticed that?
Right. You go far enough, you'll always see a mysterious... But we've seen, like, 2 or 3 mysterious fires already. So.
Yeah, 4 hours plus, you'll always see a mystery fire.
True.
16. If you could have a school portrait-esque picture, like one with lasers in the background and shit, taken every year for free, would you do that?
Do I have to display this picture or just have it done?
What you have to do, the price of getting the picture taken, is you also get, like, a wallet size, and it goes in a little frame that's, like, every year of your life?
No.
No.
I mean, I get enough pictures of me taken, like, doing things that I don't really, you know, not that I'm afraid of it, but I don't really want, I don't display, I don't do anything with them.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's the thing we talked about earlier with the sort of digital photography.
Yeah.
So pictures of that kind of thing aren't special.
Oh my gosh, I think I can actually see flames for the first time.
Yeah.
Is it a car? What is that?
It looks like a truck.
Oh my god, there's like a truck fully
in flames. It's a bus.
Flames.
It is a bus.
Oh, it's an RV.
Holy shit.
Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Guys, if you get the chance to see an RV fully consumed by flames, do it.
There's a lot of firemen sort of standing pretty far away from it.
A biker or two just like, yep.
Yeah.
All right, 15. What do you think is with people taking their sneakers, tying the laces together, and throwing them up on a telephone wire?
Do you want the real answer? Or, I mean, there's a lot of different stories about what that is.
What do you think?
I think usually it's just like kids throwing a, like they find a pair of sneakers, they just throw it up there.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the thing that a bored kid does.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard different things, like it's where someone had gotten killed, but
I've
that's
heard that
you know,
too.
That's not really true because I've seen that places where there aren't a lot of death. I've heard it's like it used to be, and you know, it's also a place where you can buy drugs.
Yeah.
That makes more sense than the killed story, but it seems like that's kind of an obvious hint.
I would think we would have figured that out by now, right?
And plus, it seems like, you know, on the one hand, we would have figured it out, but on the other hand, it seems like a sort of sophisticated dead drop system.
Yeah.
You know, between drug dealers and drug users.
Also, so, how do you get the shoes down when that's no longer a good spot?
Right. Like, it's not like the old sort of Cold War spy craft.
Yeah.
Where you'd put a circle near an overpass.
Yeah.
You know, but you put a circle with an X through it to say, like, you've been compromised. So
right.
Don't, you know, don't go to the location. You know, yeah. Or the sort of message received thing. The shoe is sort of a one-way message.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's not good. So I tend to think it's just someone finds a pair of shoes, throws them somewhere.
As a you know, B to that question, 15B, should I do that with a pair of my shoes as a summer activity?
Sure, why not?
All right, number 32. Do you own any buttonfly pants?
I do.
What do you think?
I like the pants.
Yeah.
Themselves, which is the why I still have them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say, like, going to the bathroom is kind of tough.
Yeah.
You know, and buttonflies tend to work only if they're somewhat baggy in the waist to get off and on.
Yeah.
You know, so
not tight like you like them to show off the stuff.
Right. Like if they're not even super tight, like it can be tough. Like I'm not a fat guy.
Uh-huh.
But these buttonfly pants can like be hard to get on, like all the buttons on.
Yeah.
So buttonfly pants are fine if you are a 14-year-old girl.
Sure.
And, you know, but, again, it seems sort of elaborate to take on and off. Like,
all right.
You know, even to go pee is sort of a production.
Fair enough.
So.
Question two. General opinion of the activity of horseback riding.
As transportation or just as an activity?
No, as a thing to do.
Pass.
Pass.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those nostalgia things that we should just let go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying we should all ride around in RVs in our national parks, because that's also, not RVs, but like ATVs and stuff.
Or what are those gyroscope scooters?
Yeah, or like
Segways.
That's kind of lame in itself, and I think that it ruins nature.
Yeah.
But I think horseback riding is the kind of thing we should just let go.
All right.
You know, we're done. We've done that. We've moved on. We don't still ride around in Model Ts.
True.
We don't ride around in carriages in the city.
True.
So we'll take horseback.
So that's Ian Dirk, everyone. Kill the horses.
Yeah, fuck them.
Horse decide.
Fuck them. Kill them, eat them.
The horse a cost.
Right.
Number four. Have you ever shot a gun?
Have I ever shot a gun? Like an actual gun?
Yeah.
Actually, no.
Huh.
I've never shot a gun. I was in the Boy Scouts. I just never did.
Interesting.
I shot BB guns, bows and arrows, but never a real gun.
That would be a good activity.
I suppose. I've always thought about, like, I wanted to just do it, just to be like, well, check that off the list.
Yeah.
But it feels weird. Like, it's the kind of thing I wish I had done when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wish I'd done when I was, like, 12.
It's like learning to swim now.
Learning to swim or learning to ride a bike.
Yeah, as an adult, you're kind of like, well, I've gone this long without doing it, and I'd look like kind of an idiot.
Right, and there's not a good place for you to do it. Like, there's tons of kids swim lessons.
Yeah.
And I would even take adult swim lessons because I can swim, but I would like to learn to swim better.
Okay.
You know.
Would you rather swim lessons or gun lessons?
Oh, swim.
Huh.
I would, because, like, I tried to swim to sort of get in better shape.
Yeah.
Because I would try to do other stuff. I get bored of it, but swimming somehow wasn't boring. Because I was always trying not to die.
Yeah.
And I'd gone sort of snorkeling once and realized, like, man, being a weak swimmer made this really hard.
Yeah.
Like, really challenging.
Yeah.
So, like, I would like to be better at the swimming thing.
It is kind of hard, swimming, because it's sort of like, you know, when you run, if you just stop, you just have stopped running.
Right.
Whereas if you swim, you stop swimming, and now you're dying.
Right. There's, and if you're running and you're sort of like, oh, okay, I'm kind of cramped up or I'm hurt, you can still walk.
Yeah.
And sort
or
of
stand.
Or stand. Like, you can get progress to your destination, too.
Oh,
there's no
yeah.
walking version of swimming, really. Like, I guess that's sort of backstroke, you know?
I guess.
It's like the walking version because you're not pumping as hard.
If you're a swimmer, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's like I feel like I could do backstroke forever, but I can't, like, front crawl. Like, my goal was this year was to be able to make it, like, to the end of the pool and back, like an Olympic-sized pool, not like a wiener pool.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, it's about July, and that's just not happening. Like, I haven't been swimming for a while. When I gave up, it was like I could make it front crawl one way. And then about halfway, you know, coming back,
yeah,
I'm going to take one bad gulp and just die.
I think there's no, like, walking version of swimming, because it's like, I mean, it's like jerking off a soft penis. Technically, you're doing it, but it's not really getting anywhere towards the goal, and you're just hurting yourself.
I think with you, if you have the kickboard...
Sure,
that's
but then you're
pretty
not
close,
really
and then you're not really swimming anymore.
It's like saying, "Oh, if I was running but had a two-wheel thing."
Right.
Yeah. Question 12: favorite chick flick.
Favorite chick flick.
Yeah.
Does Mean Girls count?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mean Girls is probably. I mean, but that seems like an easy one. That's not what you're going for.
I guess I'm talking more romantic comedy.
Oh.
Chick flick.
Chick flick. And Baby Mama doesn't count either, does it?
For all I know.
I guess it's weird because they're both Tina Fey movies, so...
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing. Like, if it were written by Tina Fey, I'll go for it.
In Baby Mama, how did they explain the fact that Amy Poehler, who appears to be at least the same age, if not older, than Tina Fey, was more suitable biologically than Tina Fey?
I don't know. I think it was just that Tina Fey had some weird uterine thing. It wasn't because she was old.
Oh, okay.
Or it's the sort of thing like Amy Poehler's character was that sort of Jerry Springer-style white trash that can sort of breed
she
no matter what.
It.
She just has it, you know?
Right.
She can sort of breed by looking at a dude.
So you're going to go down with Baby Mama, huh?
I would go with Mean Girls as my favorite, but if I Baby Mama, I feel is more justifiable as a chick flick.
Okay.
But Mean Girls is
about
girls.
Having a baby, I guess.
Because I'm trying to think of something that would be a genuine definition of that. Because I don't even think Beauty and the Beast counts, so...
I wouldn't know. I still haven't watched it, despite losing a bet.
You've managed to get out of that one?
No, it's still coming. I think I bought some time because I will be attending the Harry Potter premiere.
Oh.
At midnight on a Thursday.
Okay.
So I think I've bought a little goodwill there.
You know, the Harry Potter premiere is much better than the Beauty and the Beast thing. So,
I don't know.
I mean, well, I guess if it's
we'll
the premiere.
We'll see, I guess.
If it were just seeing the movie, I would say yes, but if it's the premiere, then it's going to be annoying, so.
Well, it's going to have to be a lot better because I know it's a lot longer and I'm not going to be at home watching
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I'd say as a film, you're going to enjoy it more, but.
Yeah. All right, question one.
Hey.
Would you care to give us a brief breakdown of your first vehicle?
The first vehicle, like, I would say that that was mine or
yeah,
just the
yeah.
first one I drove? Ah, the Toyota Cressida.
Yeah.
And we'll preface this with the Toyota Cressida. I still wouldn't count as my first vehicle. The blue Suburban was technically the first vehicle.
Yeah, this was your first car, though. Come
yeah.
on.
The 82 Toyota Cresta station wagon was, I believe, a week older than I was. By the time I inherited it, like, our mother had driven Peter and I in this the entirety of our lives.
Yeah.
We had no other cars.
Including, like, road vacations like Grand Canyon and Yellowstone and shit like that.
Right. It had done some serious mileage.
Yeah.
With small children in the back seats.
Yeah.
So there's one thing I do remember about it is that it had this, like, sort of piece of stuck-on oatmeal in the back seat.
I remember that too.
That was impossible to remove.
It looked like an oatmeal, or it kind of looked like a snot.
Right. Like, it was
hard.
It was super hard. It was stuck on there.
Yeah.
But I had this for a long time.
Yeah.
This car was a station wagon, so it was actually, like, as a high school car, I would say it beat the shit out of some of my friends' cars.
Yeah.
Because it lasted longer, for one thing.
Yeah.
I can tell the stories about having that in college.
Yeah.
But it was good because I was in musical groups at the time, like I was in bands and things. And having a car with a big trunk was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the kind of thing, like, all of a sudden your station wagon that people would dog on.
Right.
Was useful. It had a utility.
You could put drums back there, passed out bitches, whatever you
yeah, exactly, like whatever you needed.
Band show.
And I mean, it's like we never had a big enough gig where we had a van. Like, we could get vans occasionally. But this was something that's like, yeah, we need to haul an amplifier to someplace.
Sure.
You would be able to do that.
All right.
And it was not like, it was the thing that it was the biggest dog in the high school parking lot.
Yeah.
So beat out only by one of the teacher's cars.
I remember that.
That had a hole in the floor.
This was the history teacher. His car had a literal hole in the back seat. You could watch the road go by as he drove.
Right.
It was crazy. Like, there was a thing in the school newspaper they did called Junkyard Treasures, when they would show a picture of the shittiest car in the parking lot.
Right.
And his was the worst. I don't even know if they knew it was his car, but it was just like, holy fucking shit. Now that is a piece of garbage.
It was a terrible car. Like, it was the one thing, it was the saving grace that somehow my car, was the second worst car in the parking lot.
Although, I still remember a humiliating day.
Uh-huh.
You left the lights on because it was rainy in the morning.
Right.
We were driving home, and so the battery died.
Right.
And he comes past us in his car, and it's like, beep, beep, and I said something about his crappy car, and he's like, well, at least mine is running, and then he left, and I was like, oh, he's got me there.
Yeah.
That bastard.
This car, like, I think Peter may have talked about his Pontiac before.
Yeah.
The Cressida was the car that bailed out the Pontiac whenever it broke down.
Yeah.
I guess the thing I would conclude with was a first car story. When I was in college, there was a guy who was going through the parking lot. He was on angel dust or something.
Uh-huh.
And he was smashing the windshield of every car he walked by with his shovel.
Right.
And it was insane because he was doing this in front of the dorm, and it wasn't like a crazy, you know, late night thing.
Yeah.
It was like a Thursday night, maybe about 10:30 or so. So not late by college standards, 10:30
okay.
at night.
Yeah.
Guy is smashing windshields with a shovel, just like walking down the line, smashing windshield with a shovel.
Sure, it's college.
The cops come to not to get to stop this guy, but stop the mob of guys that have formed outside trying to kill this person.
Right.
And it's like, there's enough people outside that a guy with a shovel has decided to walk away and be like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously lying.
Yeah.
But we went outside to sort of survey the damage, and the guy had smashed the windshield of every car. He skipped mine and moved on to smash others. He didn't bother to smash the windshield of this car.
Jesus Christ.
So guy on angel dust decided, man, this, fuck that, I'm not smashing this.
It's like, well, this guy's got his own problems.
Right. He was, man. So thank you, angel dust man, for not smashing the windshield of my shitty car.
Well, he still had some faculty, I guess, to him.
Yeah, he had something. Like, he smashed other piece of shit cars, but not mine.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Awesome.
Okay. Question number 6. I think we've got probably about a third of the questions left or so.
Oh, wow. Made some progress.
Question number 6. Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
Do I have a go-to karaoke song?
Yeah.
No. I really don't.
All right.
I guess the closest I would go with is I've only done karaoke when I'm very intoxicated.
Well,
and I've
yeah.
always made bad choices. I can say I have universal bad choices.
Did you know that karaoke is Japanese for the divine drunken wind?
Ah, I did not know that.
Because that's the wind that comes out of your body is drunk.
Well, I could tell you I think I've made the worst karaoke choice ever.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I chose once "It's Been a While" by Staind.
Oh yeah, that gets a party going.
Yeah, that was like,
the fuck, did you pick that song?
It was at a bar where like you could pick, you know, if you did karaoke, you get a shot. And I was like, someone's like, well, you wind up being up there and you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I went with something like, oh, this can't be that hard to sing.
Well, yeah.
And it's not. But the thing is, it's kind of a shitty song.
It's a horrible song. It's a little long, and there's no energy to it.
Right. So
I wouldn't want to hear it in a bar, let alone hear it done amateurly as opposed to by whatever that guy's name. I couldn't remember on that previous cast.
I called him
Lane Stainedly.
That's closer to the Alice in Chains Lane Stainedly.
Oh, I know.
It's something like Aaron something.
Aaron Stained.
Yeah, who knows, but I chose that, so that gives you an idea of my choices. I've only made one good karaoke choice ever, and it was Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
Where I was with three other guys, two other guys, and we didn't choose it. It just came on, like when you leave the karaoke on.
Ah.
And it just sort of came on, and we were all drunk, and we all just sang along with it.
Yeah.
We were in Hawaii. Everyone else in there was Japanese, so they actually didn't know this song.
Oh, so it was perfect.
Yeah, so we were like, three drunken Americans know Ring of Fire.
Yeah, I would think if you were like in Japan doing karaoke, you could get a little mileage just off the fact that you sounded American, which is probably how they're used to hearing most of their pop music.
Right. So like you could get, and with Ring of Fire, surprisingly, you don't have to be that good of a singer.
No.
Like especially when you're singing along, you're not singing along to Johnny Cash.
No.
You're singing along to like a studio guy.
Yeah.
So it always sounds off. But yeah, since I make always awful choices,
yeah,
I don't have a song.
All right.
So I can be counted on to pick the worst choice.
Well, I would say stick with the Ring of Fire instead of the
Staind.
It's Been a While. Yeah.
That was,
if I was the bar owner, that would have been the moment when I said, no longer will we be offering free shots for karaoke.
I don't even know why you put that song as a choice.
I don't either. That's not like a song that people want to hear. I don't know why you would put any downer songs other than,
right,
you know, a handful that are fake downers, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Question 46. What the fuck happened to horror movies?
Oh, God. I think part of it is that, there's an academic answer, I guess, and the academic answer is that our problems are so strange and abstract you can't make horror movies out of them anymore.
Okay.
That our horror movie, like, when you think about horror movies historically, they were always about whatever anxieties people had.
Like getting cut up with a chainsaw?
Yeah. I mean, part of it is, like, that's the sort of, you know, in the 50s, it was always your anxiety about nuclear power. So it'd be, like, crazy nuclear mutants. You know? In the 60s or 70s, a lot of the 70s stuff, for example, where you saw this horror genre come out,
right,
it was about this sort of crazy ultra-violence.
Right.
You're about the sort of how much society doesn't care.
Yeah.
Which is why no modern horror movie, someone had pointed this out, so it's worth repeating, on Slate. Someone had pointed out in an essay about horror movies,
yeah,
nothing is more scary in any modern horror movie, like anything made after the year 2000, than the opening of the original 1970s Assault on Precinct 13.
Okay.
Do you remember that at all?
No, I've never seen it.
Where it's just a guy, like people just driving around in this black muscle car, sticking a sniper rifle out the window, and waiting for a perfect target.
Yeah.
And he's just driving along. He sees like an old person walking, lets him go. Sees this homeless guy drinking, lets him go. And then he sees this guy like with his little girl. this ice cream man with a little girl around, and he's shooting, you know, spoiler alert for this first, you know, 15 minutes or so.
A little late now, but go ahead.
He shoots the little girl.
Okay.
And it doesn't spoil the film because it's just this thing in the beginning.
Yeah.
But he just shoots the little girl completely randomly, apropos of nothing. And it, by the way, in the remake of the film, it's cut. That sequence is cut out.
Of
that
course
doesn't
it
happen.
Is, because no one has the guts anymore to shoot a kid.
Right. And that's the thing, that what are we afraid of in the year, you know, in the year 2000, like in the year, in, you know, in this millennium, the 21st century? Our biggest problems are abstract, you know, debt to China, you know, debt ceiling problems, and then also this alienation from technology.
Yeah.
Which horror doesn't do well. Science fiction can't really approach in a new way.
Yeah.
Because part of it is a lot of things that were science fiction before are now science fact.
As I like to call it, science faction.
Right. So, I mean, the thing that you could make scary would be something like Minority Report.
Yeah.
You know, where Minority Report could be... I think Minority Report in some ways is creepier than a lot of horror films. Like that...
Sure.
Those spider things creep the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a creepy fucking sequence.
I don't care for Minority Report. I don't buy, like... I mean, how long has it taken DNA evidence to get even some foothold?
Yeah.
We're going to say, like, ooh, psychics will figure it out. That would never happen.
No.
No one's ever going to say, oh, okay.
No, I mean, it's totally implausible.
Yeah.
But once you buy into that world, then, I buy the world, you know?
I don't, but that's fine.
But I can say that horror movies, like, for too long, people went with horror movies of, like, oh, if something jumps out at you, it's scary.
Yeah.
And the problem is that horror movies lost that design aspect. And I'll go back to an earlier question.
So, wait, your All right. basic premise is society has changed and horror movies reflect society, and therefore they're just not as good because our problems are not as...
The problem...
Don't lend themselves to horror.
The problem is that, like, our society lends itself towards some sort of complexity. And horror movies, like the things people try to copy are the 70s ones, which are all Tower of Doom. Like, quick scare, move on. But that doesn't work for us anymore. Because our anxieties are sort of free-floating, not about ultra-violence. They're about, like, is our economic future going to be as good as our parents was?
Yeah, okay.
And that's our big anxiety. That's our big fear. But we can't capture that through violence.
So Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps is the horror movie of our generation.
Like, it should be. But that's the thing, is like horror, like too much of our horror tries to copy 1970s horror.
Yeah.
Where people were much more scared of super criminals. You know, violence and blood in the streets was
more like serial killers and shit.
Right. And it's
which
like,
I miss.
Which
I
we're not scared of
happen.
Anymore. Like, we're not terrified in the way we once were.
I think we all feel like they're going to get caught. Every show is about them getting caught all the
right.
time.
Right. And so I feel like we've effectively eliminated that as a scary genre.
Yeah.
Like, random violence is not something we're afraid of in the same way we used to be. So I think part of it is the things that cause anxiety. Like, good horror comes from the anxiety of the times.
Yeah.
Our anxiety is complex, and our films are not able to reflect that anxiety very well. And I would go going back to my earlier statement, 70s horror was the Tower of Doom, where you would just show something shocking and walk away from it.
Okay.
But what we need are more roller coasters, like well-designed, constant plot, like not constant drops, you know, not constant terror, but like very, like a lot of subtlety, a lot of thought goes into this, a lot of money even.
Nice tunnel.
Yeah, like you need everything. Like, roller coasters are the things you can make an hour-long special about.
Yeah.
Like one roller coaster and how much work went into it.
Mm-hmm.
The Tower of Doom you can explain like with a cocktail napkin.
All right.
So I think part of it is that our problems are too complex. Our films are too simple.
Yeah.
So we need much more complexity to our horror and to our film in general in order to get a good horror film for our generation.
All right.
So,
on that note, question 47. A celebrity you would like to punch? A much less deep question.
Ashton Kutcher.
Good answer. Question 14. The best trip you ever took? That's a real cheesy one. but
the best, like the best trip I ever took.
Yeah.
God, it's a tough one. I would actually say it was one trip I took while I was in Morocco.
To where?
It was actually just up to the north of Morocco.
Okay.
It was with my friend Ian Matthews, who, by the way, is a fan of the show.
Hey, Ian Matthews. Shout out. I don't know who that is.
Well, he does like you on Facebook.
So, I do know who that is by that, because I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Right. So I think it's a good shout out for him. It's probably, I mean, it's among the best things. Like, it was so laid back. We met up with another friend of ours from another Moroccan friend of ours.
Yeah.
Moisin is his name.
Moistening, okay.
Moistening. But
like what you do to sponge before you clean.
Right. It's pretty much like that, Moisin.
Moistening.
But he has an interesting connection to film.
Moistening?
Moisin.
Okay.
All right. He lives in the city of Tangier.
Okay.
Beautiful city if you get the chance to go.
Tangerine, okay.
All right. But did you see the last Bourne movie, Jason Bourne movie?
Ah, hell no.
Okay. Well, there's a sequence that takes place in Morocco.
Right.
And I'm guessing you may have even seen a still picture of like where he rides the motorcycle up the wall.
No. He does that?
Yeah.
I knew I didn't want to see those movies.
He rides a motorcycle sort of up a wall.
Oh, well, yeah. Why not?
And that wall is right by Moisin's house.
Didn't Batman do that?
No.
He was riding that motorcycle and he rode it up a wall to turn around.
He did that in The Dark Knight.
Still Batman.
He was still Batman, yeah. But I think the Bourne movie did it first.
Okay.
But
that's an appropriate move for a Batman.
Not for Jason Bourne.
A guy who's supposed to be a guy.
Well, that was the third movie. So he was like, at this point, he was not just, he was like super killer Jason Bourne.
He was more divorced from reality than that dead wife.
But the thing was like that wall is right outside Moisin's house.
Moisin
got to watch Matt Damon sort of film this part.
Yeah.
And he was sort of surprised that there was a stuntman.
Yeah.
Who said does not look like Matt Damon at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you get to, if you freeze frame that film, you'll get to see Moisin's house.
That's kind of nice.
But, so yeah, I'd say that was the best trip.
Also, best reason to own a Bourne movie would be, look, there's a house, my house is in this movie.
Yeah, that's the completely thing. On that sort of side note, that's why I was offered a job as a production assistant on the Sex and the City 2 movie.
Oh, and you didn't take it?
No, I didn't.
Why the fuck not?
Well, by the time I kind of decided not to take it, it had already been given to someone else.
Oh, I would have took that. Like, why? That's a story you tell the rest of your life.
Oh, God.
You'd have been in the credits of Sex and the City 2.
Oh, God, yeah. I would have been like the only single dude to show up to it.
Yeah.
And people are like, why are you going to see this? I'm like, I'm in this motherfucker.
Sort of.
Like, my name's in the credits. It's right there.
Man, you should have done it.
Yeah, I kind of regret that now.
I think you made a mistake.
But I didn't.
Oh,
so.
Well, all right. Well, yeah. Maybe you could do it for one of the prequels.
Perhaps.
Question 26. If you worked at Disneyland, which character would you be?
God. Which one would I want to be?
Yeah.
I'd have to probably say, Jesus. As embarrassing as it is to say, it's probably Minnie. Mouse.
Minnie Mouse.
Because I think, I went through with this, all right?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm tall enough to play most of the others, because a lot of Disney characters are kind of tall.
Okay.
You know, maybe Donald, I think, would be the other choice. Because, like, Mickey's got to be kind
of
tall.
I like how you have this built-in height chart of Disney in your mind.
Right. Or maybe Chip from, but only if I could be Chip from Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
Not regular Chip.
Not Chip and Dale Chip. Once he got that bomber jacket and the fedora for the Indiana Jones hat, I guess.
Why would you go back? You know?
I don't, yeah.
I mean, Dale with a Hawaiian shirt, I kind of get why you might go back from that.
Yeah.
But,
that was a good team up.
Yeah, but I think that was well designed. Also, probably best one of those great Disney Nintendo games.
Yeah, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers on Sega was not bad.
Yeah, no, that was on the regular Nintendo.
Oh, you're right.
So
it was not bad. 13. What would you like people to know about the card game Magic the Gathering?
Magic the Gathering.
You don't have to explain it all to us, but if there's something you think everyone should know about it.
I guess that it is way more expensive than any nerd hobby, including video games.
Yeah.
So, of the nerd, like, if you see someone who's nerdy and plays Magic the Gathering,
yeah,
be their friend because they probably have a lot of money.
Ah,
and,
yeah.
Don't
That's
spend
the kind
it,
of advice I'm looking for.
And clearly don't spend it very wisely. So,
yeah.
I mean,
blow it on you.
Yeah, like, they're more likely to. Or the other alternative is that they don't have that much money and spend it foolishly on cards.
That's true.
Because to get started playing the Magic the Gathering, you're talking, like, to be able to have a deck to play with.
Right.
You're going to spend $100 minimum.
All right, but you know that's somebody who has some money at some point.
Yeah, they've got access to money, so.
That's a good thing.
But if you're buying, but I'm telling this to adults now. If
yeah.
you are, if you have a credit card and you put, like, a credit card and you put Magic the Gathering cards on it.
Yeah.
You have problems.
Yeah.
Like, throw it away, clip the credit card, get a Suze Orman book and follow all of her advice because your finances are out of control.
It's the kind of thing that once you're not asking your dad for the money for it, you should probably quit.
Look, it's the kind of thing that if you have a source of income, like, if you're a single dude, right? You've
uh-huh.
got all your bills paid.
Uh-huh.
You make at least $45,000 a year or more.
Yeah.
All right? And this is after all your bills are paid.
Yeah.
You've got food in the fridge, like actual food.
Yeah.
Then you can get Magic the Gathering cards. But this is after all your bills have been paid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't owe anybody a cent that month or
right.
next month, really.
So, teens and crazies.
Right.
With,
like,
money.
Teens, insane people who just want to spend money on something.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're Richard Branson, knock yourself out. But
sure.
then again, I think if you're Richard Branson, you can buy crazy, you know, much more crazy shit than a Magic the Gathering.
You don't get to be Richard Branson by buying a fucking Shivan Dragon every other week.
No. Which, by the way, I'll just to close this out, Shivan Dragon, expensive card, never has won a game for
yeah.
me. So,
all right, question 30. If you had to grow facial hair, what would you go with?
I would go with, I'd probably go with a Fu Manchu.
All right.
Just to go with something insane, because I think all facial hair would look insane on me.
Ah.
So...
So you want people to know you weren't serious about it.
Right. Or a handlebar mustache, if I could grow that.
Yeah, those always look pretty good.
You know, because that takes effort and time.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I had that, they'd be like, well, you're crazy, but in the right, in the fun way. Not crazy in the, like,
yeah.
Zach Galifianakis beard kind of way.
Right. Crazy, but fun to go to a bar with way.
Right.
All right, let's see. Question 36. Do you think I should do a Beardwatch 2011?
Beardwatch 2011?
Now, some of you probably don't know. I did a Beardwatch 2009
uh-huh.
when I was on vacation visiting Ian in Morocco. I just basically decided not to shave for like 2 weeks
uh-huh.
and see what happened. Because I thought, how am I ever going to know if I can grow a beard if I don't just let it happen?
Right.
Beardwatch 2009 was not a success.
Yeah, it didn't turn out.
I looked horrible.
So,
do you think I should do a Beardwatch 2011?
I think it's a matter of when
yeah.
you would have time to do this.
Well, you know, I could take a week off of work.
I think for you, you're going to need at least 2 weeks to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if I take a week off, I do the weekends on both ends.
Okay.
Grow a beard.
Only if you manage to pull this off in the winter time.
You think winter is beard watch time?
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you're successful, if you do this in August
yeah.
and you're successful,
yeah.
you know what you have then? A huge fucking beard in the summer.
Well, I don't think I'm going to have a huge beard no matter what.
I'm saying if you're successful.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you win in the summer, you lose.
Ah, success is failure.
Right, success is failure.
Watch. That's true. I did elect to grow... do a beard watch in the hottest period of
right in the hottest year. Period and you were visiting a hotter place than
yeah,
you live
a hot climate
you were like so right. I would say do it in the winter time, like sometime October, mid-October.
You're right.
Yeah,
people probably won't look as askance if you're growing a shitty beard in the winter.
Bonus point, if you do it mid-October, you could actually go to work with it and say you're growing a beard for a Halloween
costume. Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
So then you might have an excuse, and then you could extend your beard watch.
Yeah, good idea.
So I think that's a good thing. I'm a genius.
All right. Question 8. Do you have a classic arcade game of choice?
Oh, man. Like, if I can pick anything?
Yeah, like, you could have the machine in your house, and you could have one. What would it be?
God. You know, I think, even though I'm not very good at it, and I was never good at it as a kid.
Yeah.
I'd go with Q-Bert.
Yeah, that is hard as fuck, though.
Q-Bert is hard as fuck, but I would get a lot of mileage out of it.
Yeah.
It's the kind of game I feel like, you know, never really was ported very well to, like, Nintendo or something else. Because I got my Donkey Kong fill, like, with a Nintendo port.
Yeah.
Galaga, same thing.
Yeah.
I would get a Galaga machine, though, if I could get the flat thing, like, where you can eat pizza on top of it.
Yes.
And use it as a dining room table.
That was my answer, was a Pac-Man, the flat one.
I'd go with the Galaga over Pac-Man, but
that's
sure.
Fine. But yeah.
If I get the flat one, I would go with the Galaga machine. But if I had to get the stand-up thing, Q-Bert. You know, but if I could get a flat Q-Bert, that's it. That's where it's at.
What else would be good about that is Q-Bert is so hard that it's not like people would come over and play it for 3 hours.
No.
They'd get frustrated. So you could still enjoy it
right.
on your own. But when people came over, it wasn't like, let's stand and play Q-Bert all day.
Right. No one would want to play Q-Bert. Everyone would be like, fuck this after like... two guys. Like, they'd play it two or three times and be like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is way... You know what else was great about Q-Bert? Crazy noises.
Right.
It had the weirdest fucking noises in it, and he cursed when he died.
Yeah, he did the sort of squiggly line, ampersand,
yeah,
at symbol.
Spiral.
When he died.
Pound,
but that's exactly
symbol.
How you felt when you died.
Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck.
Fuck.
And
it's
that's
not like...
kind of what he said.
He didn't explode. He didn't,
no.
like... make a crazy, you know, he didn't do a woo woo woo,
yeah,
which is also
sure
kind of an explosion.
Dies, really.
He didn't spin around in a circle and die.
Yeah.
Which was the common arcade death.
Yeah.
But he would just be like, fuck.
Yeah.
Damn it. You cunt! Which also the best part of Q-Bert was when I was a kid, I was so frustrated.
Yeah.
And I was climb as high as I could and just jump off the back and you die.
You can just kill him at any time.
Yeah. So.
All right. Question 45. General opinion of musical numbers on movies and TV.
Ugh.
That could be your answer. Ugh.
Mostly, I like comic ones, and I think dramatic ones are always bad.
Yeah, good answer.
Like, there are comedy ones that are funny. Like, I guess I could pick one sort of... I'll pick one from sort of a TV show or, you know, a smaller thing. And then I'd say, like, they're, you know... And I'll try to pick one from a musical, like an actual musical, that I think it's really hard. And the musical version, I feel like it's really hard to not like some of the songs in The Sound of Music.
Okay.
Like, I feel like they're well-written songs, they're catchy.
Sure, they're decent.
And, you know, if you went with Doe, a Deer, that actually explains something you would need to know in life.
It is nice. It would be like if they made a really good song that explained, like... you know, the process for putting an old car in four-wheel drive.
Right. Or how to back up with a trailer.
Put in park, the car's in park, then go lock the wheel hubs.
Oh, shit, I didn't even see that sheriff go by.
Sheriff just went flying the fuck by with his lights on.
Yeah, I'm going to get pulled over for that. But we'll see
anyway.
If anyone else pulls over.
Let's see. Question 38. Do you enjoy a casino?
I have in the past.
Yeah.
I guess I did want to finish my answer to the other question,
yeah, okay.
though. But I would say there's a great song in Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Yeah.
Of everyone's a hero in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, it's really funny.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like obviously pointing out like, well, everyone's a hero in their own way, but me more than everyone else.
Right.
You know, where it's really trying... But I think, like, comedy, in both cases, like, it's not terribly serious.
Yeah.
And you notice, like, even in The Sound of Music, the only really serious song is Edelweiss, you know?
Yeah.
Which does not really belong to The Sound of Music.
Well, you know, I think you're right, because, like, it's like you were talking about karaoke, right?
Yeah.
Somebody gets up there and fucks around and does a fun song versus, let's say, It's Been a While by Staind.
Right.
It doesn't really matter if you sing it good or bad on the funny song.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't matter on the serious song because
you're
not into it.
It's why Springtime for Hitler is funny, is a good song.
Yeah.
But if you were to make, say, Downfall the musical, it would never work.
Yeah.
It's doomed.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, good night.
I'd like to stay and live the, my life. Yes? No.
Let's drug these kids and put them all to bed. Okay. So 38, do you enjoy a casino?
I have enjoyed a casino in the past.
Yeah.
I would say I enjoy blackjack mostly. Poker in a casino is just too intense for me.
Yeah, I think all the TV shows and shit, now you can't just go and play poker because now it's all like, I read a book about poker or I play poker online all fucking day.
Right. And I would say, like, somehow roulette, I'm always afraid of fucking it up.
Yeah.
Like, somehow you think roulette's going to be really easy.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's not.
No. It's complicated. There's a lot going on. There's a hockey stick on the table.
Yeah, and you have people waving over. Craps is the same way.
Yeah.
But blackjack, I feel like I can get it. I feel like I have a chance at winning it. Like, yeah. I feel like there's something I can do. I have that illusion of control. And I can lose my money more slowly, if nothing else. That's basically where my system is.
True.
Now, I have won a shit ton of money playing blackjack. I won $400 at a $2 table.
Oh, me too.
So, you know, I feel like I have a decent system in that regard.
Yeah.
But at least, if nothing else with blackjack, I can lose my money in sort of a slow enough way that I can have fun.
Yeah. No, I think it's got to last a while in order to be worth it at a casino.
Right.
Question 4. If you had to get a butterfly tattoo,
Jesus,
where would you put it?
God. I would probably go with inner thigh.
Oh, God.
Inner thigh.
Is that just so whoever saw it would be like, all right, well, this is just crazy?
They'd be invested in whatever was going on.
That's
so
true.
Like, the people who would see me were someone who was blowing me.
Yeah.
You know, or a doctor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so at this point,
yeah, there's no chance someone's going to see your inner thigh unless something horrible, you lost your swimsuit to pool suction or
even
you're
then,
banging someone.
Even then, like, they probably, like, if they just saw me walking by,
yeah,
you know, no one looks at, like, they try not to look, they're either trying not to look at my dick or they are looking at my dick.
Right, right. You know, if they're seeing your tattoo, they're seeing your dick.
Right.
And you're so, like, well, I'd rather you saw my tattoo than my dick, so we're already past the zero barrier here.
Yeah, so
through,
like,
the
if
looking
you're,
glass.
If you're looking at that, then you're looking at my dick.
All right.
So that's, I'm going to go with inner thigh because that seems like the best place if I had to put it somewhere.
I think that's a damn good answer.
Yeah.
Question 5. Do you feel like you owe me a complete Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams?
No, I don't.
All right. Should I explain why I feel like you do, maybe?
Sure.
Ian in school had a very bad habit, and here's what it was. He would take things to school and put them in his locker.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest offender was coats. Because in Colorado, in April, March, cold as hell in the morning, and by the afternoon it was really warm, and we walked home. So he'd take a coat in the morning, put it in his locker, not want to wear it home, so it stays in the locker.
Yep.
At the end of the school year, many of these items would end up thrown in the garbage because, you know, to be fair, realistically, carrying home 8 coats on the last day of school plus whatever other shit, not happening.
No.
If he wasn't going to carry home 1 coat when it was kind of warm, he ain't carrying home 8 coats on the last day of school when it's hot.
I wasn't carrying home 1 coat in March. I'm not going to do 8 coats in May.
Exactly. So, one thing that he borrowed from me was a complete Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams.
Allegedly.
I'm alleging that it's completely what happened.
All right.
And so that was borrowed.
Okay.
And I remember loaning it saying, please, can I have this back right away? I was reading it at the time.
Uh-huh.
It was borrowed. I never saw it again. On the last day of school, like the last week, I kept saying, could you bring it home? Could you give it to me? On the last day of school, you came home, and I simply said, you threw it away, didn't you?
I think I probably said, yeah, I probably did.
All right. But you don't feel like you owe me one.
I guess I, having reheard the story, yeah, I think I kind of do now.
All right, fair enough. I got what I wanted.
All right.
Okay.
It's on record, folks. I owe Peter a complete Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
So, if you'd like to help me out, you should send it to me, to him for me, care of me.
Yeah, if
care
anyone
of you,
wants
actually.
To relieve him of that debt,
right?
That would be fine. I don't really care what form it comes in.
So you wouldn't mind if, like, I got you all the, like, someone got you all the books?
No, that would be fine.
Separate.
In fact, I think I have most of the paperbacks.
How about, like, a recording of the BBC series, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
That would be, though not the same, acceptable.
All right, so that would count?
Because, well, I'd feel like that was effort.
Because, well, yeah, that's harder to find.
Yeah, and probably more expensive.
Well, no, I could burn it for free.
All right, well.
But if I found
either
it.
Either way.
Yeah.
Okay, 44. Are you familiar with this word essay? And I don't mean the paper you write, but like.
Like to try. Like an attempt.
No.
That's what it means in French.
The word like when somebody goes, yo, what's up, essay?
Oh, okay.
Essay. Is this a good or a bad thing to be?
What's up, essay? I've never had that said to me, and it was good.
So it's been bad in your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I've only had it said to me a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
And it's usually by someone I didn't want to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, not just because they were Mexican.
No, oh dear.
No, but it's because...
That's our last podcast, the Make Fun of the Mexicans podcast.
Right. That was the last one I was on.
We've taken care of that.
But I think part of it is that it's the kind of... But even referring back to the last podcast...
Yeah.
If you're going to refer to me, the whitest kid you know, as essay, you are too Mexican.
Yeah.
You are far, far too Mexican.
Well, and it's probably like the equivalent of someone saying big guy when you're not a big guy.
Yeah, I mean, I get big guy and chief sometimes, and I'm like, that's patronizing.
Yeah, they know you're
not
chief of shit.
I don't mind it if you are like an old guy with clearly some Vietnam tattoos on.
Yeah, say whatever.
Then
you
can be. Then you've earned the right to patronize me a little bit.
Sure, call me shithead.
Right, but if you work at the bar at some sort of chain bar and grill,
yeah.
A Chili's, Applebee's type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You are probably younger than I am.
Yeah.
So you have no right to call me chief or big guy.
Yeah, it's just slightly less aggressive than calling me friend and then knocking my plate on the floor.
Yeah.
Do you decide what you want? Friend? Smash.
Friend. Yeah. Well, it's worse to me because it is condescending and aggressive.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. Question 43. Do you have a top, somewhat embarrassing tip for saving money?
Top, somewhat embarrassing tip for saving money. God, I'm trying to think of something.
I'm trying to think of an example here. Like, you know, I do this thing, like we just left my apartment, and I have all my stuff plugged into power strips, and I turn off the power strips because, like, any device that requires a remote control is always leeching power from the
walls. Yeah, so you take it out.
It's like something an old man would do, though.
Yeah. I would say my tip for saving money that is sort of cheap, basically. I'd actually say this is probably one of those ones that's actually a decent tip.
Okay.
If you live in a sunny climate... You never use the dryer and dry pretty much everything outside, especially T-shirts. Never put your T-shirts in the dryer.
All right.
Like, jeans, yeah, you put those in the dryer because it's going to take 1,000 hours. And plus, if you ever had sun-dried jeans, they're like, you can break them in half.
Yeah, they're crispy.
They're crispy, and that's no good.
No.
But with, like, a cotton T-shirt, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, you might get a little bit of crispiness, but
that
goes away really quickly.
Yeah.
So... And I feel like that's good for the environment. It will save you, you know, space in the dryer.
Okay.
You know, you're not doing... Like, if you're doing dryer, you only... Like, if you're going to use the dryer, use your jeans. But if you have a load of T-shirts and cotton stuff, put it out in the sun.
All right.
So, there you go.
Use the power of the sun.
And if you live in a hot... No, this gets even better. If you live in a warm, dry climate...
Yeah.
Put your T-shirts inside, and it will make your house a little more humid.
Ew.
So
I don't want my apartment more swampy than it is.
Well, the helpful snow fort is pretty swampy.
I don't know what's wrong with that place.
But, like, if you live in, you know, a super dry heat kind of place.
Yeah.
You can add a little humidity so, you know, you're not getting dried out like beef jerky.
Yeah.
So.
Question 42. Is there someone you're looking forward to seeing at your high school reunion, which is impending?
Like that I haven't seen in a while?
Sure.
Actually, yes. This guy I talked to sort of vaguely on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Which is strange. Like, it's a strange thing because our lives have taken very different paths.
Uh-huh.
We went to the same college but never hung out.
All
we
right.
went to the same high school, never really hung out.
All right.
Just sort of traveled in different circles, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, when I watch on Facebook, you know, we like all the same things. Like, we like all the same movies, music, television.
Right.
For the most part. We have the same political opinions.
Right.
Like, we, not only that, but we get into the same Facebook, and we get into sort of those occasional Facebook arguments about political topics.
Yeah.
Like, you have the conservative friend who posts on my wall about something.
Yeah.
And I get into a discussion with him. This friend, who we'll call Mike Welch,
yeah,
is always on my side.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're on the same team. So there it's like, go. I want, and I saw him briefly, but didn't get to talk to him very much.
Yeah.
And it's like one of the few guys who was in my, like, the only other person I know in my high school graduating class who has read the entire Preacher series.
Ah, yes.
Like, the only other one.
Interesting.
So, like, nobody else I know except, like, I can say I could count all the people who've read that whole series, like, on one hand.
Preacher is a 90s comic book series, by the way, which is pretty damn good.
Right. Totally worth reading pretty much to for anybody.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing that, read it at your local library, because it would be kind of expensive to own. It's worth owning, but
yeah,
I'd say read it, check it out first. You'll enjoy it. If you enjoyed any Quentin Tarantino movie ever, you'll enjoy this.
Yeah, a lot of that DNA is there.
Yeah, so I think that, but he's the only other person I know, like, for, he's the only person from my graduating class who's read that, so I feel like we'd have something to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I've been out of the world of comic books, and I thought a good recommendation would be in order from him, so.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, good on you, Mike Welch, if that is your real name. Question 34 or 9, depending on what I had written.
Okay.
Have you ever made a book safe? So this is a book you open up and it's got a little slot in there to hide stuff in?
No, I never did.
All right.
I'm trying to think of what I would hide in the book safe.
Yeah.
Like, because when I had weed in the house,
yeah,
I put it in a cigar box.
Yeah.
You know, like, which seemed like the, you know, it's that hide in plain sight sort of thing.
Yeah.
Worked just fine.
We didn't have, like, I've been horrified to discover. I think we had a very un-Snoopy mom. There
yeah.
were a lot of Snoopy moms. They didn't wear those Snoopy sweatshirts just because they wanted to look bad and endorse Charlie Brown. It's because they were snooping around these rooms and shit looking for stuff that their kids had.
Right.
And then they would get mad when they found it.
Yeah.
Which is the crazy part to me, because it's like, well, you were looking around. What did you think was going to be there?
I guess it's the kind of thing that it's fine to snoop around. Like, I feel like if you snooped around in your kid's room and you found, say, a smoke, like a handgun that had been recently
yeah, a
fired.
A pipe bomb.
You know, a pipe bomb, then that's, you know, you've discovered something good. But if you discovered, like, weed or a note from a girl.
Sure.
Then
let
you let that go. Or, like, with the weed, you take it, you confiscate it. You know, you just get rid of it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, get rid of it.
I get,
note from
I
a girl.
Just, I'm not a snoop.
No, I'm sort of anti-snoop.
I mean, I loved doing it as a kid, but
yeah,
I wouldn't do it to my kid, I don't think.
I think the closest thing I ever had was something I think I bought off of you at one point, which was that Aquanet can.
Oh, yeah.
That you could screw off the bottom.
Yeah.
I just threw that away recently.
I don't know why I bought that, because it was super cool. It was like a Mission Impossible. I got probably once every 2 years I would buy an item from this catalog called Things You Never Knew Existed.
Right.
Which had, when you're 12 to 14, all the best shit.
Right.
Crazy knives and lighters and fingerless leather gloves that you're going to use to punch someone for no fucking reason. All that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, every couple of years I'd buy something from there. And one of the purchases was this Aquanet can, which is an old lady hairspray. And you could unscrew the bottom and put stuff in there.
Right.
It was a lot like on Jurassic Park when Newman gets that shaving cream thing.
Yeah, it's the same concept, but it won't keep, embryos alive.
No, and it doesn't have a coolant. But
right.
Other than that, same deal. And, yeah, but the mistake was buying... See, there was a Coke can.
Uh-huh.
But I thought, if I just have an empty Coke can, someone's going to throw that away.
Right.
Or pick it up or something. So I went with that, thinking no one would touch it, but then it looks completely out of place in a boy's room.
Yeah. I mean, when I had it, you know, I for a while I didn't keep much in it that I didn't have that much that was valuable.
Yeah.
But for a while I kept my Social Security card in it.
All right.
Which is like the, you know, the sort of the most valuable thing most of us own when you think about it.
Okay, the air in Cochita smells like vomit.
I would agree.
Like, exactly. It's horrible.
But, like, it's the most valuable thing you own. And it's in this Aquanet can that the little nozzle part has fallen off, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No one would think, why would you own this?
No. It and looks like garbage.
And on more than one occasion, like, I had to save it from being thrown away.
See, that's what I was afraid of, because someone would be cleaning up for you or something and just throw it away.
Right.
And then you'd have to be like, ah...
Or, like, I'd have a new roommate, like, in the dorm or something.
Yeah.
And I'd have to explain why I had this.
Yeah.
Which meant, like, oh, I have to explain that it's got a secret bottom. And then you look like a douchebag because you got this 12-year-old right. secret bottom thing.
Right.
And you've completely lost the security you get with it.
That's the part I had a problem with. Well, and it was, I made a book safe once out of the Complete Works of Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
Which is great because it's a big, thick book.
Right.
But I had it on a bookshelf amongst all comic books.
Right.
And then the Complete Works of Shakespeare. So, in reality, that's probably fine.
Uh-huh.
But in my, like, 17-year-old mind, I was like, well, that's fucking obvious that that's a book safe.
Yeah, it didn't blend in at all.
No.
Like, it's the kind of thing that would blend in perfectly
yeah.
if you had a whole bunch of other classic books to go along with
right.
it.
I mean, now it would be fine because there's just enough... text on the shelf.
It's worth remarking that we just broke, I think, the speed barrier for this truck.
Uh-huh.
We got up to 82 miles an hour
yeah.
going down that hill.
Yeah.
And that was a little fast.
It's kind of a bear.
So we're slowing it down a little bit here because we're heading into some road construction. But
all right. Question 33. You know that shit like donkey punches and rusty trombones and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Do you think any of that shit is real?
Anyone no,
does that in their life?
A donkey punch, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of those, no. I think a lot of it is just made-up internet lore.
Yeah.
That, I think, comes from a young man's complete lack of understanding of female anatomy.
Right.
And basic anatomy and physiology.
Yeah.
You know, like, shit like a donkey punch is the kind of reason why we need better science education.
I would like to know if punching, like... If a girl gets punched, does her vagina clench? I have no idea. I guess that's the butthole, if you want to get technical, but...
Right.
Just as a butthole? I don't think my butthole clenches when I get punched. I don't know.
I think it goes the other direction, you know?
Loosens up?
Yeah, like, because everyone I've heard who's sort of passed out, like, you know, from being too drunk or being drugged or whatever else, like, I've never heard of someone passing out and having their butthole. I mean, no one really measures if their butthole clenches.
My butthole was sore because I clenched so hard.
But you've heard of people who get, like, really drunk and crap themselves?
Yeah.
And while they pass out?
Or get real scared or whatever.
Right. So, like, I tend to feel like if you pass out, it goes the opposite direction.
Well, let me ask this, then, from a creative perspective.
Okay.
So these things are flights of fancy.
Uh-huh.
But something I've never understood about songwriting, and I guess probably it goes both ways. Do you think that people are writing the names and then coming up with the acts to go along with them? Or do you think they come up with an act and then make up a clever name?
I think they come up with the act somehow exists. Like,
yeah.
I think with some of them where I could believe it exists, like the rusty trombone.
Yeah, eating someone's ass while jerking them off.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that, you know, probably is documented somewhere on the internet.
Well, it makes sense.
You know, and it's sort of, there's something to that.
Yeah.
And that I feel like the act existed before the name.
All right.
You know. But I think because it has a clever name, the act sort of gets perpetuated.
So probably much like my unsatisfactory songwriting thing, it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
All right. Number 41, can you grow sideburns?
I always ask to get them whenever I go to get my hair cut.
Uh-huh.
They always ask if I want them cut.
Yeah.
So, sort of.
Yeah.
So, technically, yes. But
okay.
I wouldn't say I can grow, like, mutton chop sideburns. So
okay.
No.
Number 48. Have you ever had a Magnum ice cream bar?
I've had quite a few of those.
Are they really good? The reason I ask, I was at the grocery store last night, and there was a sign on the freezer case that was basically explaining, hey, guys, the Magnum ice cream bars are so goddamn popular that we're out, and we probably will be out for 4 to 6 weeks. Thanks for making them so popular, blah, blah, blah. Now, I mean, I've never seen that at the store where it's like, oh, this particular this or that is so fucking popular, you know, that they had to put up a sign explaining it's not there and won't be there.
Uh-huh.
So is it that good?
I mean, I had most of those. Like, they had those in Morocco.
Uh-huh.
So...
Yeah, I gather it's like a European thing.
Yeah, like, they were expensive there, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, you get a normal ice cream bar for, like, 5 dirhams or so, but those were, like, 10. Those were, like, twice as much.
Right.
And that, so it's not a cheap ice cream bar by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
By the way, in Morocco, it'd be fucking way cheaper.
Of course. Well, everything is
But I'd say that... It's not that great. I mean, a decent little pint of those little tiny pints of Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
Probably better.
All right.
There's a Magnum bar that's double chocolate.
Yeah.
And that's just too much chocolate. Like, you can't even finish it. You
feel too rich.
Yeah. Well, you feel like a fat person. Like, you're like, ugh.
Yeah. There are certain chocolate.
Where's my vomitorium?
It's like getting like an extra large Blizzard, where at the time it sounds great. And then when you finish it, you're like, finishing it has ruined the enjoyment of it.
It's exactly what you would put in Hedonism Bot's hand.
My favorite Futurama bot.
Right. You would put that in his hand. If you needed him to hold an ice cream bar, the double chocolate Magnum is what you'd put in his hand.
If you want to understand everything about what I think comedy is, get on YouTube and type in Hedonism Bot.
Right.
That's hedonism spelled like that weird festival where old people get naked.
Right.
Question 3. We only have 2 questions left.
Oh, wow.
Rank the following in importance to you. Fashion, financial stability, and planning for the future.
God. Financial stability is number 1.
Okay.
Like, by a lot. I'd say planning for the future number 2, and then fashion is like a distant third.
Way distant third.
Way distant third. Like, it's not even... We're not even on the same track.
All right, fair enough.
It's like, you know, financial stability is won the race.
Yeah.
I would say planning for the future, you know, has left the starting gate and is around the first corner.
Okay.
Let's say fashion, if it were a horse, it would have been shot before it left the gate.
I guess with fashion... So. Like, financial stability and future planning are not things you could just snap your fingers and have.
Right.
But fashion, you could sort of... If you dedicated... I think if anyone dedicated themselves to fashion for 4 months, they could build a good wardrobe and do a good job.
Yeah, I feel that way, too.
Right? And if, assuming you had the money, you like, could just kind of... If you decided to look nice, you probably could.
Yeah, like, you could sort of wing it and do it.
Yeah. All right, last question. Question 50. How many downloads do you think this show will get?
Gah, I don't know. Given that there are, I would say, lowball estimate, I'd say about 10. I'd say high estimate, 50.
Ah.
So.
That'd be nice.
It's kind of a big range, but.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing it possibly getting more than 50, even like.
Oh.
I think that given what. It's hard to tell on the iTunes. Like, I do try to look and see which ones are most popular.
Yeah.
But that popularity scale is really strange.
iTunes is a real fucked up system for everything.
Yeah, it seems like why you couldn't just... And I mean, you own the account.
Yeah.
So you'd kind of want to know which show was the most popular in a transparent way.
You'd think.
But... And iTunes probably does know that.
Yeah.
But...
They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care about my needs.
No. And, like, even their sort of, like, most subscribed thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, whoever... It's not who is the most sort of stable subscriptions.
Yeah.
It's whoever subscribes, like, week to week.
Yeah.
So, if you wanted to promote this podcast, really, what you really need to do is, like, subscribe to it when you get the new episode.
Yeah.
Unsubscribe
after
that, and then resubscribe over and over again.
Yeah.
Because that will make it look like this podcast is getting a ton of new subscribers all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't count the fact that you've lost the old ones.
I think I'm just going to start going to other people's computers and subscribing to it and not even telling them that I've done it.
Just doing it.
Yep.
Maybe going to like a public building, like a university or something.
Yeah.
Just downloading iTunes and, you know, putting it on every computer.
Well, I just want you to know that that audio of you saying 10 downloads is what I'm going to play back to you when we're old and I'm rich and retired from this show.
All right.
You ask me for money, I'll be like, oh, oh, you who believe, oh my God. There's a billboard right here that says film studio that looks like it has to be for porn. It's like, oh, here it is, Traditions Film Studio. Maybe not.
Kind
that
of a big
fun, actually.
It looks like a big fort outside.
Yeah, it had like a UFO painted on the side. Oh, I wish we'd gone there.
So maybe it does. It still could be a porn studio. Just more,
that's
it's more the Lord of the Rims style porn rather than the gonzo rape porn.
Yeah, very, very good. Well, there at this point, there'll be piano music playing because we'll be wrapping up. Is there any last things you wanted to say?
God, I've talked for enough long enough time. So
I know. We're almost to Albuquerque.
Yep, almost
where
we
there. We can get a horrible night's sleep at a Super 8.
Yeah, and by the way,
and no pizza.
To suspend, you know, to make this even more suspenseful,
uh-huh.
Sadly, the only room that we could get that was non-smoking has one bed.
God damn it.
But it's a king bed.
Yeah.
That's better. I mean, I was looking, I stared at the two queens in the smoking room for a long time.
Well, one king bed for us or a two queen is really the same thing, isn't it?
Well...
You think about it?
All right. I suppose.
Well, thanks for all your answers.
Thank you.
Don't forget to visit us at helpfulsnowman.com and so on, all that business.
Set him up, knock him down.